Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron.
And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. All attention has been turned in earnest to the Miami Dolphins this Monday night. And that's what we're going to be doing for the next 2 hours in PFW in Progress. I'm Fred. Andy and Paul and Eric will be here in a little bit. They must have been waylaid. I don't know what they're doing. But they'll be here and to take your calls, emails here on PFW in Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-543-7482. And, folks, this is a big game. It's a big game for both teams because, especially for Miami, they've just lost at home to a division team. Now, the Patriots, of course, have already lost to the Jets as well, but at least they didn't lose to the Jets at home. They still have a chance to even up that series, and, you know, having that second game at home, I think, is an advantage that the Miami Dolphins don't have. They've lost to the Jets at home now. So their only chance of evening up that series is going to Miami and beating the Dolphins. So, you know, if you're looking at which team, you know, is if it's a must-win for either team, which team is it? I would have to say Miami. Not that it's not a big game for the Patriots. You know, I'm not letting them off the hook. I'm not letting myself off the hook. But when you think about it, you know, the Dolphins just lost a game at home. They don't want to lose two in a row at home. Those home games are precious. So I would imagine that as ramped up as the Patriots will be for this game, you can bet that Miami Dolphins will be too, if not more so. So joining me right now is Paul. Paul just sauntered in.
Yes.
Where are you coming from?
Locker room.
How's it going in there?
It was going all right today.
Yeah?
There was a decent amount of people around talking. I would say... let's see, Dan Copen, Patrick Chung, Kyle Arrington, Darius Butler.
How's Butler?
Rob Gronkowski. Well, Butler was very late, and that was the one, you know, I tried to get into that little mix. The questions were predictable about not, you know, how did he handle it, not knowing, did he know heading in, and he said he knew he wasn't going to start. That's all he knew. You know, basically said the right things. I haven't changed my approach. I'm going to continue to work hard and get myself prepared. And he said, it's a production business. You know, so clearly the inference there is he wasn't producing. and he knows that. So he's just going to keep working hard. I wasn't in on all of those different players that spoke, but interesting. I thought right at the beginning of the locker room period, Terrence Wheatley spoke, and he hasn't obviously been active for any games yet. So that tells me that he's probably close.
Okay. I told you in the last show.
You said he's the savior of the defense.
Help is on the way.
That's not what you said. You said he was the savior of the defense.
I'm kidding, Paul.
Well, I mean, that's two different things, as you are wont to do when we discuss these things.
I was kidding when
you
I
say
said
two
it
different
yesterday.
Things. But I do think that he is probably closer to returning. I wouldn't be surprised to see him active Monday night based on the fact that he was taking questions from the reporters today.
Hey, you know, Wheatley showed some things in camp.
I thought he had a good camp. Yeah, I think you're right.
He showed a little bit of an uptick from what we've seen in past years. So
I thought he was very physical in camp. I actually thought he had a really good camp his rookie year too. He was hurt a little bit last year, but I've been impressed with him in small windows, small bursts, because we haven't been able to see him stay on the field.
Yep.
For long stretches of time. So it'd be interesting to see if maybe he is the savior, as you termed him yesterday, and if he can get out there and provide a boost.
Brady talked?
I didn't hear him, but yes, he talked in the media workroom today.
Okay, and who went to that, Eric? Or
I don't know.
You don't know?
We kind of scattered.
I was there.
You were there?
Well, all right, then give us an update. What did Brady have to say? I know that he did say something about the road games. You know, this is a different team.
Yeah, he was
this isn't last year's team.
Yeah, he was very adamant about that, and he also said that you can't really judge what kind of a road team they're going to be because of one poor half they played in the Jets game.
True.
So yeah, I don't think anybody's doing that.
Yeah.
Well, some of the media were kind of
I think they're basing it on basically the last 10 games, not one half.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know, Paul, if you know, but several people have approached me today and told me that PFW is a source of motivation this week.
Oh, well, I have an idea as to why that may be.
Well, apparently, the picks section of PFW, everybody picked Miami.
Yep.
Right down the line, below Mike Reese, the three of you, Shalise from The Globe, Mark Capella from 98.5.
Which is the real eye-opener.
Yeah. Everybody picked Miami, and I guess that has been taped to the door leading into the players' dining room.
Okay.
So
I think that's
whatever we can do to help.
Yeah, but I think that's right. You should. I mean, if you're the Patriots and you're Bill Belichick and you look at the team newspaper and you see, I mean, I know they're not all team employees. That you mentioned, it's the Globe, it's the Herald, it's ESPN Boston, it's 98.5. There's a whole bunch of different guys we have picked the games.
It's a good smattering,
but they all picked Miami.
Everybody.
So that's motivation.
Yeah.
Now, does that help you one bit? No.
Well,
but you use it. You use anything that you can.
I think, in the Rodney Harrison school of thought, I think he believes, and other players might, certainly the coaches do because they use this kind of stuff all the time, bulletin board material. When everybody's against us, keep that in mind. Everyone thinks we're going to lose.
Except for, which I thought was very interesting, Fred.
Yes.
The spread.
Well,
Patriots are favored.
Do you think that's just to get Patriots fans excited, New England fans excited? Okay, let's maybe we should put money down on the Patriots this week.
No, it's because people are putting money down on the Patriots this week. That's why.
Okay.
Not because they intentionally put the spread
So it has nothing to do with really who.
It's money.
Yeah, it's money, and as we've said.
So
before,
people think the Patriots are going to win, except for the people that are picking the game at PFW. Just like the Jets game.
Well. Think about
the Jets game was the same thing. The Patriots were favored by 3 points down there.
Look, I know that
everybody thought that
the
Patriots were going to win that game.
Hold on for a second. Why do you think the money is with the Patriots?
Because Patriots fans bet.
And Miami fans don't?
Patriots fans bet a lot.
Okay.
Yes.
So you don't think there's anything that we're overlooking?
Do I think the Patriots? Are you asking me if I think the Patriots can win this game? Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, I know you think they can.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just wondering: is there something we're overlooking that, maybe the wise guys are seeing that we're not?
I don't know what that could possibly be. I mean, I think that we're all looking at the Patriots having a very good shot to go down there and win that game.
Have people overrated the Dolphins?
No, they're underdogs.
I'm just saying us. I'm not talking about the bettors. I mean, the people who are picking Miami, have we overrated Miami? Is there a chance that Miami's overrated?
I don't think Miami's all that good, so I can tell you in my mind I'm not overrating them.
You don't think they're that good?
No, I think they're an average team, much like the Patriots.
Really? Just average?
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of people think that they're a pretty good team.
You know, most people picked them to finish third place in the division preseason.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I'm just going by the magazines. Yeah. Most people had the Jets winning the division, Patriots finishing second.
So really, everybody picking Miami around here is more of an indictment on the Patriots than saying that Miami Dolphins are good.
Well, I think there's a couple of things, Freddie, and this is good because this is Wednesday. This is when we get into Miami a little bit, you know, after yesterday talking about the Bills game.
Right.
I think, number one, the Patriots have traditionally had a tough time in Miami. That doesn't matter how good the Miami team is.
Absolutely. Chalk one up on Miami's column.
When you look at the 10 years that Belichick has brought the Patriots down there, in my mind, he brought down a bad team once.
Yeah.
The very first year.
And they're
4-6 under Belichick
in
Miami.
So in the columns, that's a check in the Miami column, no doubt. It's hard to win in Miami.
So I think people look at that and they say, well, you know, Miami has been tough on the Patriots in Miami.
Yep.
Another thing they look at is the Patriots' recent track record on the road.
Chuck, another one in Miami's column.
So as you mentioned, the panel that we have in PFW, Mike Reese, who works for ESPN Boston, everybody knows him, we all love him. We just filmed All Access. And that's a Patriots show that we show every Friday night here in the Boston area.
Toot toot.
WBZ Channel 4.
Right. One of the things that he mentioned to me was, how can you pick this team in a big spot on the road until you see them come through?
Right.
Now, maybe they win this game, and then the next time, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, when they go to San Diego, maybe you'll say, well, they beat Miami down there. This is the start of the turnaround. They're getting back to what we knew of the tough Patriots road team from, you know, 01 all the way through 07, 08.
Yep.
You know, they were always tough on the road in big spots. Matter of fact, they kind of sometimes played better on the road.
Yep.
But we hadn't seen that lately. So maybe people want to see, you know, a little prove it to me.
So road woes.
But I don't
Another
think
check in Miami.
So
column.
Again, you haven't heard me say anything that's overly complimentary of the Dolphins.
Right. Not yet.
Those are my two main factors that I'm
putting
into
But if they were going to Buffalo this week, I think
I would be
picking
Buffalo
the Patriots.
Buffalo stinks. I don't think Miami stinks.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that Miami, now if you want to get into the X's and O's of the game, some of the things, I feel like Miami's offense, although not overly high-powered, I think they have a balance to it that I expect will give the Patriots defense some problems. I think they might have some success even with the Wildcat, which they haven't really had a ton of success with since the initial bludgeoning here in Foxborough back in 08. I think the guys that are part of the front seven, not all of those guys have been exposed to this. You know, Vince obviously is there. Mayo is there. Brandon Spikes hasn't been. Gerard Warren really hasn't seen a ton of it. Ron Brace hasn't seen a ton of it. Jermaine Cunningham or Rob Ninkovich haven't seen a ton of it, whoever happens to be playing over there. So there's three or four guys in that front seven who really haven't been exposed to this
a lot. True, but now I think in 2010, coaches are coaching for it a little better than...
Again, I don't think it's a trick.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's not knowing what you're seeing. It's being able to handle it.
But it's also preparing people for it.
Yeah. I expect Miami to move the football Monday night. Now, I also expect the Patriots to move the football. I expect the Patriots to move it on everybody. Now, Miami's defense is better than it was last year, but not that much. I think there's a matchup there, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, that I think they will really exploit, and that's the other cornerback, Jason Allen.
Well, I think Dansby's a big upgrade over Joey Porter.
Well, they play a different position.
Yeah, but you got rid of a guy and you brought in a guy, and I think Dansby's going to have a better effect on the defense than Porter did.
Well, Porter was an outside pass rushing type who gave the Patriots a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dansby is an inside linebacker who has provided some leadership and athleticism that I think that defense lacked. They're tough. Miami is tough.
Yeah.
Miami reminds me, the Tony Sperano Miami Dolphins remind me a lot of the 2001 Patriots. their, you know, their whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, and
you know, they don't wow you with tremendous ability at all these positions. But at the end of the day, they're like your cockroach theory, with you always used to say about the Jets. You can never kill the Jets.
Right.
I think that's Miami, and I think the perfect example, if you want to watch a game that the team had no business winning, Miami last year down there against the Patriots. Miami had no business coming back against us the way they did. Yeah. But, you know, it's 21-10, and they come up with a goal line stop late in the first half, and then all of a sudden, you know, they get a touchdown or a field goal to make it 21-13, and they're picking and clawing their way. Vontae Davis makes an interception in the end zone. They've never really shut down the Patriots all day. But all of a sudden, they get it back to like 21-19, and they needed to get the ball back, and all of a sudden, three and out. Dolphins go down the field, kick a field goal. Now they got a one-point lead. They need to stop. Pick. Game over.
Yep.
It's like they made plays when they had to make plays.
Yeah. And this year, they've added Mike Nolan, defensive coordinator.
Who I respect a lot. Right. You're right. That's a good point.
And he's given the Patriots trouble before as a defensive coordinator. And now you mentioned the sum of these parts. He's pretty good at taking a defense and making them work together, you know, as a team. And so that's another check in the Miami side.
Yeah, and they are a little banked up. The kid out of Penn State, Jared Audrick, who a lot of us thought was maybe had a chance for the Patriots late in the first round. He went to Miami late in the first round. He missed the last game with a knee injury. I don't know how serious that was. I don't know if he's been, you know, we'll get an injury report later this afternoon. We'll see what his status is, but they missed him. He's not a Richard Seymour, you know, game-changing type player, so I don't want to overestimate him. But I do think they missed him a little bit. They like to rotate players in that heat. You have to, down there. Although it's a little bit of a break to be playing them so early in the season at night, and not have to deal with that 1 o'clock sun, which can kill you.
Henny looked pretty good against what we think is a real good Jets defense. One game aberration, or is this guy taking a leap?
Well, I mean, he had one game against the Patriots last year that was very similar. So I think he's developing. I think he is, he's got a true number one weapon now in Brandon Marshall. And we know they can run the ball with Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams. And now all of a sudden you take those guys that he has been working with last year in Brian Hartline and Devon Bess and Anthony Fasano at tight end. Well, you make those second and third options, they become pretty good second
instead
and third
of
options.
One,
you know,
who's the guy they got rid of last year?
Camarillo. So they traded him in the summer to Minnesota.
Right.
But they got Benny Sapp for him, which bolstered their secondary a little. Again, Benny Sapp, not a frontline corner, but as your fourth corner, not bad.
Yep.
You know, as an extra guy that you can throw out there to maybe double somebody out of the slot and maybe try to, you know, make a play that way.
So they're a pretty solid team.
They are a good team. Yeah. I don't think this is a team that can line up and play with the Patriots. I think talent-wise, they can play with the Patriots.
Well, it's going to be interesting. You know, obviously, a lot of this in every game has to do with how Tom Brady plays. If Tom Brady plays like he did last week, you know, if the Patriots score 38 points, do they win this game?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But obviously, we're thinking that Miami's defense is a lot better than the Bills' defense.
I would be surprised if the Patriots ended up with 38 points. But 38 is awful hard to lose if you can score 38 points every week.
Sure. Right now, the Patriots are the
number
one scoring
team. Only Drew Bledsoe Patriots teams would lose with that amount of points scored.
Right now, the Patriots are the number one scoring team in the NFL.
That is correct.
You know, small sampling so far. We only have three.
Well, I think I would
weeks.
Expect them to be a top three scoring team when the season's over.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, injuries dramatically affect what they do.
So
1 point ahead of your Indianapolis Colts, Brady.
Yeah.
90-89. But the Colts have allowed 21 fewer points, however.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, so
and the Colts don't have a very good defense.
Yeah, the Patriots need a couple games where, you know, they keep teams in the teens or less to get that ranking up, because right now they're at the bottom. Last year they were in the top 5 in points allowed, and a lot of people point to that as, you know, you shouldn't criticize the defense. Other people think that that's very deceptive.
Well, last year it was. It certainly was.
Yeah.
That they had some – I mean, I know it sounds silly, but there's only 16 games in the season. So even one game can really dramatically impact statistics. And that 59-0 game dramatically impacted statistics last year.
Yeah.
You know, do you realize they allowed minus yards passing in that game?
Yeah.
So think about that. If you allow 250 yards every week passing, and all of a sudden you just put a zero in there, that takes that average down.
Has anybody taken out the best and the worst of last year and see what happens then with all the teams?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's done that. I'm just saying.
Mike Reese hasn't done it?
What we watched last year, and I'm certain that you would feel the same way, was not a top five defense.
I didn't.
And points scored and points allowed is the way to analyze it.
Yeah.
If they were, I don't remember them being that high, but if they were a top five scoring defense last year, that was not.
No, they seem to have much of the problems that we've seen so far this year in third downs, can't get off the field, second half, not being able to buckle down, not being able to learn from what you did in the first half and adjust and buckle down on the other team's offense. But again, it's only week three.
And we'll think last year's defense was better than this. And there's a lot of reasons for them, and most of them were out of the Patriots' control. Ty Warren, Lee Bodden, Brandon McGowan. I mean, there's guys that they thought would be part of this defense that haven't been. So, you know, you were going to have a young defense anyway, but now you take away two or three of the guys that had some experience from the mix, and that really makes it tough.
No, I mean, Ty Warren, you know, you say, well, Gerard Warren's not that much of a drop-off, but...
No, it hasn't been.
From a depth standpoint, imagine having both of them.
Right.
So now you can mix Warren up. Maybe he could play on the opposite side of Wilfork when the other Ty Warren's in there. You know, you have a lot more flexibility if you had both the Warrens that you don't have now. And Lee Bodden, you know, you talk about depth at cornerback. I mean, going into the season, we thought, hey, you know, the defensive backfield, there's some depth there.
Well, it's like, you know? If you looked at it, Freddie, and we'll talk about Butler and Arrington, I'm sure. If it was Bodden starting the year with Darius Butler, and Butler struggled the way he has,
In comes McCourty. Right.
And you're saying, well, he's a rookie first-round pick.
Right.
Who's pressing for playing time, and the other guy in front of him has struggled a little bit. Let's make the move.
Yep.
Instead, no disrespect meant to Kyle Arrington, because, again, we said this yesterday, we all thought he had a terrific training camp. So you're making a move to Kyle Arrington, who's completely unproven as an undrafted guy. You're kind of a special teams player.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
No. What do you got there,
Paul? We did have some transactions today that I probably should have talked about, some minor moves. Rich Ornberger was promoted from the practice squad to the active roster. He takes the 53rd spot that was opened by Steve Maneri, who is the offensive lineman they released earlier in the week. They also added two offensive linemen to the practice squad, one of which was Maneri. The other was an offensive lineman out of Minnesota named Thomas Austin.
Oh, sure.
6'4", 310, so he's a tackle. My guess would be he's a tackle. And let's see, originally signed by Minnesota as a rookie free agent out of Clemson. He was waived by the Vikings on September 4th, so he was waived in the last round of cuts. So undrafted rookie free agent out of Clemson.
All right.
Thomas Austin. So Austin and Maneri on the practice squad, and Rich Ornberger takes the 53.
We were kind of hoping
spot.
That they were holding that spot for Kazier.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe Kazier was healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
And maybe he is. He doesn't need a spot. He's on the roster. But I was just hoping that maybe
if
they felt comfortable enough to get rid of one of those tackles, that maybe he's ready to go. And maybe he is. We'll see. Because Ornberger's not a tackle.
Okay.
He's an interior lineman.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-543-7482. Bill Belichick's going on right now, by the way. That's why Andy's not here.
Yeah, he'll be here shortly.
I have no idea why Eric's not here. What's Eric doing?
Eric goes out to practice.
Bill hasn't even taken the podium yet. So.
Oh, good.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, when's practice start, Paul?
I'm not sure.
So why can't Eric come before practice and then leave?
I'm not sure. I know he has. Maybe he does. He put anything up on the blog.
He makes his own schedule now.
Is that what he does? Well, the less time he spends here, I find the better. I'm just kidding, Eric.
No, you're not. All right.
I kid.
So I'm excited about this game.
Well, it's a huge game.
Yeah, it is a big game. Do you agree with me though? you know, if you have to say one team needs it more than the other, it's Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anytime the home team in division games, you got to win your home division games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement by you, one of your rare ones.
Yeah. It would be nice to knock them off and, you know, be up there with the Jets in first place. You know, it would.
But just how big it is, and I know it's only four games, and Bill would scoff at such talk, but if you allow the Jets in Miami, because the Jets play Buffalo, which they probably are going to beat.
Right.
Although they've struggled with Buffalo, by the way. You know, the Patriots have this dominance over Buffalo. Yeah. The Jets don't. The Jets and Miami would both be 3-1. The Jets would be 3-0 in the division. And Miami would be 2-1 in the division. You would be 2-2 and 1-2 in the division.
Right.
So you'd be, in essence, a game and a half behind.
Right.
That's not a good place. You know how they set up the schedule this year with the
right.
three division games in the first 4 weeks for all four teams. And then the last three are in the last 4 weeks for all for all the teams. So that's an interesting little dynamic. You'd have that hanging over you for the balance of the season.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to get those games back for a long time. And it would set up a,
they set up playoff set up a lot games of pressure at the end of the season.
Which is your argument for Roger Goodell. But, you know, we'll see how it all ends up unfolding.
You know, you bring up Goodell and league matters. Hot topic this week because the owners and association met for another round of talks. The 18-game schedule. Polian kind of got the ball rolling.
Says it's a fait accompli.
He thinks it's done. He's not endorsing it necessarily.
No, he doesn't seem like he likes it at all.
No, but he's saying that pretty much the owners have made up their mind. I don't know how accurate that is. The league has not commented on Polian's comment, although Kevin Mowe from the player side said he didn't realize that Polian was in a position to make those kind of statements.
Is that Kevin Mowai, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave him alone. He's on a roll.
You know, so, so you know, I don't know what's going on. I still think it is and could be a bargaining chip. I don't know. They said that the owners presented a whole litany of things related to that, how preseason would work, how, you know, rosters would work, the whole thing. I don't know what those are and what they presented.
Maybe they have sort of a tiered roster system where you can open the season with, say, 60 players.
Yeah.
And then by, I don't know, October 1st, you have to get down to 53
maybe.
To play the rest of the way under the normal requirements.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So in other words, they can sell it saying it's not more money for all the, but it's more for there's more jobs because
right.
obviously those guys that are on the roster at the beginning, they're going to be roster
right.
players,
right?
Not just practice squatters. So they would make more money.
Yeah. Players are against,
and that's a complete speculation. I haven't seen that anywhere.
Right.
Haven't seen that written.
Pretty
anywhere.
Much from every player that's commented on that they're against the 18-game schedule,
yeah,
or at the very least, they're saying. Fine, but we need, you know,
every
something.
Player I've talked to has seemingly been against it and looking to get paid
right.
if it's going to change.
Yeah, I can you blame them?
Nope.
You know?
Not a bit.
You know, it's extending their season. You can't count preseason here. I know that's was one of the early arguments. Oh, we'll take away two preseason games. That's still a 20-game schedule.
Yeah, well, that's what they're going to do, but it's not the same.
It's not the same, you know? So, but it'll be interesting, and I hope that, like we've said all along, that these guys get smart and figure this thing out because there's plenty to go around. You know, no one's getting.
We don't need any lockouts.
Yeah,
this needs to get taken care of.
Yeah. What did I read about lockouts recently? That something that ownership did recently. It's sort of a next move toward a lockout. They did something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you got?
It's frightening. You don't want to see that.
Oh, you mean with the NFL and how the salaries are going to get cut and all that's like I saw Goodell's salary and all like the hierarchy. They're all they have steps to keep their expenses down and whatnot.
Well, that might be too. That's not what I read. I read something else about it was sort of a shot across the bow. You know, we're doing this just to be prepared, just to kind of put a little fear of God on the player side. So that would not be good.
No. I mean, it's not going to be good. I mean, it's one of those things that no one would win.
No.
You know, the players want to play. They know that they have a brief window with which their bodies are going to allow them to play. So they don't want to miss time.
No.
Obviously, the fans don't want to hear about squabbles between millionaires.
And you look at even now with the Red Sox. I was looking at Boston.com yesterday, the day before, and saying how businesses around Fenway, like they're down, even though it's in season, but people have lost interest because they're not. Can you imagine if they're not even playing games?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not just bad for people following the pages, but it's bad for business.
Sure.
You know, there's this one guy, I forget his name, Zimblist, I think, out of Smith College, who always comes out with these studies.
Yeah.
And he always poo-poos the impact of sports teams on the economy. That's bull. It has a big impact on the economy, you know?
I agree.
On game day here, there's like 5,000 people with working jobs here, you know? Even if they're just part-time jobs, it's money in their pocket that they then probably go and spend into the economy. It's a big deal.
I'm totally with you. I'm not overly in favor of, you know, the whole public money.
I'm not saying
for the public, for the professional franchises, but I don't think I don't see how you can deny the impact that they have on the local economy.
And when a team's winning, it's an even bigger impact.
Yeah,
because people are excited about it, and they buy their jerseys and go.
Well, think about it, like the Red Sox. You mentioned the Red Sox. They've been a playoff team for the better part of this decade. They're not going to be this year. They aren't, officially, actually. Why would you – I mean, you're not going to run out and buy that Boston Red Sox, you know, 2010 AL East champion T-shirt.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
I think there's countless ways that you can talk about how the economy gets hurt.
Right. Yeah. On the Ace Ticket Hotline right now is Mike from Puerto Rico, Paul. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, here at the Hot. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I was just wondering, did the guy ever pay up?
Which guy?
It was a month and a week since I called. Remember the guy that told you that he would buy you lunch if I didn't call, if you didn't take my call for a month?
Maybe.
He might have. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
All right. Just messing around with that.
All right. Thanks, Mike. No, I'm only kidding.
all those people that were, you know, grunting and moaning when Belichick picked up McCourty on the draft, do you think they have a different opinion on the subject right now?
I don't, Mike, actually, because I know what you're saying. It's good that they have him, but I think that...
It is what it is.
Yeah, I think that people look at some of these other guys that have been drafted, and, you know, whether they're right or wrong, they're envious. They're envious of other guys who come in and make immediate impacts on teams. And, you know, right now we think McCourty's going to be good, but, you know, he's not yet.
It's so ridiculous.
You don't think that McCourty has already had an immediate impact, saying that he's actually a starter, and a couple of teams from what I've read have actually decided to throw to the other side rather than throw against McCourty?
Well, the Bills didn't.
Only because...
The Bills went right at McCourty and had a lot of success doing
it. And, Mike, why is he a starter? It's because, really, Lee Bodden got hurt.
Yeah, I like McCourty.
And Darius Butler's not playing that good either.
Right,
no,
but
no, he's
again,
not.
Has McCourty really played that much better than anyone, or is he thrust in there because Bodden got hurt and Butler's not playing well?
Yeah, I like McCourty. I think McCourty is gotten off to a nice start here, but I just don't want to get carried away. You're absolutely right, Fred. He's playing because of an injury. Now, he may have taken the job away from Butler, Mike. I think you might be right about that because Butler hasn't played well. But I think a lot of the things that we're saying about Devin McCourty right now, we were saying about Darius Butler last year. You know, he's aggressive. He gets to the ball. He makes breaks, decisive reads and breaks on the ball. I remember the opening night game against Buffalo on that Monday night. He had a terrific, pass defense that was a big spot. And then the Baltimore game, when Baltimore was making that late comeback and they needed to get in the end zone, he had a huge pass defense on the third down play before the one that Mark Clayton dropped on fourth down. A lot of the plays that he was making last year, we focused on, and we sort of ignored the plays that he didn't make. Well, that's what we're doing with McCourty right now. He comes up and makes a great tackle in the open field, which I think, by the way, is a big strength of his.
Sure.
I think he's a really good tackler. he makes that play and we focus on that, but then do you know who got beat on the touchdown that made it 38-30 when Steve Johnson went down the sideline? Well, it was Devin McCourty. I haven't heard one person talk about that.
Right.
Not one. If that was Butler, I think everybody would have said, oh, Butler got torched again. You know,
he's got a honeymoon period right
exactly. now. Exactly. That's right. What I'm saying. Like, this is the way we talked about Butler last year. I like Devin McCourty. I think it was a good pick. I was surprised they took a cornerback, and I'm still surprised they took a cornerback. I'm not surprised they took the cornerback that they chose because I think he can play, and I think he's gotten off to a good start here. So I'm with Mike on the player, but not necessarily the position.
I just think he has brought a presence as far as the way he plays, you know, his attitude. And I know it's only been three games and, you know, the preseason and whatnot, but I just find it curious. And another thing that's
well, Mike, I agree with you about McCourty, but your original question was, do you think the people who criticized that pick have now changed their minds? My answer is no, I don't think they have.
Okay. But I think another thing that has gone unnoticed, a lot of people saying, well, Kyle Arrington, that's the guy, right?
Yep.
That jumped over Darius Butler.
Again, he didn't jump over him as much as, you know, Butler's not playing.
Jumped under him.
You turn around, and who's sitting on the bench is Kyle Arrington. You're like, get in there, kid. It's more of that than,
on top of that, what? He not only jumped Darius Butler, he jumped Jonathan Wilhite, who was our starting corner, for a good period of time last year, right?
Yeah, no, I think that ship has sailed. I think they look at Jonathan Wilhite as a slot guy, and he's a nickelback. And I don't think you're going to see him, unless they get beset by injuries, I don't think you're going to see him on the outside too many times.
All right. One more thing before I go. Remember last year when a whole bunch of you guys were saying, and I agreed, that the offense was going to take care of the defense while the defense got its act together last year?
Yes, we said that last year, yep.
Yeah, and we were wrong.
It's actually coming to fruition this year, except for the Jets game, where I think a lot of the blame for the Jets game actually went on Brady's shoulders. That's my own personal opinion.
Sure,
I think
the offense
has played extremely well this year, and then you can see the defense just coming together piece by piece a little bit.
Well, that's what we're hoping, yeah.
Have you seen that so far?
Obviously, the Cincinnati game, I mean, they played awesome. The defense played awesome up to the point where in the third and fourth quarter, they started coming unglued, and that's when they scored those points and made it a lot closer than it actually should have been.
And they haven't had a good quarter since.
I think they played pretty well against the Jets. They were just put in some bad situations because of the interceptions and the fumbles. I'm not saying they played great, but they went back a step or two. But I think they played pretty well against Buffalo.
Well, but going back to the Jets game, Mike, you got to remember that first half, the Jets had the ball for, what, 2 minutes? So, really, we didn't even see the defense in the first half.
In the first quarter. The first quarter, the Patriots had a long drive, forced a three and out, and then had a long drive.
It was 14-1.
But the second quarter, the Jets moved the ball, scored a touchdown. Then they got the ball after the Patriots scored and went down and kicked a field goal. They got 10 points in the second quarter. That's 40 for a game. You know, I'm no math major. The second half, I don't think that the turnovers put them in bad spots. Matter of fact, one of the interceptions happened in the end zone that they ended up spotting at the 3-yard line.
It was a third down play, but it was like a punt.
But they didn't even give it a touchback. They spotted it at the 3.
Right, right.
That's not getting put in a bad spot. That's allowing the other team to go 90 on you.
Right.
You can't do that. And the Buffalo game, that's just absurd. I mean, the Buffalo game was as bad a defensive performance that the Patriots have had in years. To have an offense that inept hold the ball 50% third down conversions, convert a third and 18, a third and 20,
one punt,
score 30 points, and force one punt for the whole day.
I know you guys probably didn't see it, and I'm coming over to your point a little bit. I just hope that they make progress throughout the year.
That's the hope.
Right.
Yeah.
That is what we're all hoping for, Mike. And hope is not lost. They could absolutely. Cunningham could find his legs. Spikes could improve every game. You know, I think, you know,
and don't,
I know.
And don't sell these
and
guys
I,
out.
I agree
Darius
with the
people. Butler's not done either.
Yeah, I don't
know,
think
let's
he,
not
right.
Let's not give up on this kid after 18
I,
games.
I think Mayo is better than he was last year.
He played well on Sunday.
You know, you still got Will Fork. You know, we'll see. I think there is reason for hope on the defense.
And one more thing, just to prove the point that you're saying, because you probably didn't see it because you were actually at the game. But at one point in the CBS broadcast, they had a stat that said Buffalo had done 40 third and longs being, I think it was 8 yards or longer,
yeah.
And they never actually converted. And that was a 3rd and 20, I think we had, or something crazy like that, 17, 18.
Yeah.
The minute they showed that stat, that's when they converted the first down.
I was doing the blog, and everyone was tearing their hair out after that happened.
But I'm pretty confident about the season. I love Gronk. I love Hernandez. I just hope he doesn't go to Arizona anytime soon and get carded. But
wow. Kevin making an executive decision.
Right, I was going to ask him what his prediction was.
Oh,
you know his final. You know, really, he said he said he was still excited. Well, because we haven't, you know, we opened the show, Phil, talking about how everybody picked Miami.
True.
So we haven't had a lot of people.
But if you think the Patriot defense played well on Sunday,
but there aren't really a lot of people that seem to be overly enthusiastic right now. It's kind of hopeful and wishful, but he seemed like he was.
The weather's probably better in Puerto Rico. Well, he's upbeat.
Well, it's a crappy day here today.
It really is.
It's been crummy. Yesterday was awful.
It's incredibly muggy.
Last
and hot.
Night I had to turn the air conditioning on.
Oh yeah, it's really. Yeah, it's in the 80s, but it's just so muggy and
all right,
icky.
It's 12:40. That means we have to take the 12:40 break. We'll be right back after this.
Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti.
Hello!
You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com Radio. Really, Fred? My hip?
Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
Okay, back here in PFW in Progress. Paul and Fred sitting in. Andy will be here as soon as Bill Belichick is done. He's at the podium right now.
We need the big head. I can't believe I'm saying it, but
as soon as Andy comes back, we'll get an update on what Bill Belichick had to say about the Miami Dolphins. I'm sure it's all good. And talk more about the Dolphins. But, you know, we were talking off the air. You know, Mike says he's seen signs that the defense is playing well. And you said, really, the defense has played one half of good football so far.
Yeah.
Whereas the offense has only played a half of bad football
right.
so far.
I would say the last 10 quarters that the Patriots defense has played haven't been great. Now, they were okay. The Jets' first quarter, the Patriots' offense spent the whole quarter on the field, so you can't blame the defense for that. But 28 points there, 21 points in the second half against Cincinnati, and then 30 points, even if you want to say 23 points, you take away the kick return against Buffalo. It's just not good football.
Right.
And the most eye-opening part of that is all three of those teams.
This is paper.
Last year, all three of those teams didn't have a good offense.
Right.
Now, so far, the Jets look like, after a really tough open, they've had two good offensive games. Maybe they're improved offensively.
I hate to say it about
the Buffalo's Jets. Not.
You know, the Jets, they've yet to even see what Santonio Holmes is going to do for that team.
And Cincinnati scored 21 points in the second half, right? Have they scored 21 points in either one of their ensuing games?
Right.
No.
Right. They played the Ravens.
They scored 15.
15.
And then they scored 20 against Carolina.
Yeah.
I think 20. I think they won 20-7, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's not a good offensive team, and Buffalo is not a good offensive team. But yet, they look good against the Patriots.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Gabe from Albuquerque, New Mexico, says, is it just me, or does it seem like every time there's a call that is a possible challenge for the other team, that Brady and the offense take their sweet time getting to the line and snapping the ball? I see Peyton Manning rush to the line all the time to prevent the other team from challenging. Do you notice this? Why don't we do it?
I actually think just the opposite. I think the Patriots may have been the forerunners of that philosophy. When you think there's a catch on the sideline that you're not sure about, I've seen them many times get to the line and snap. As a matter of fact, Brady runs a lot of quarterback sneaks off of that. They kind of give up a play just to get it off and make sure they don't lose the play.
I think what the emailer is referring to is there was that one play in the Jets where the Patriots did not get a snap off, and the play was about to be challenged. I think it might have been
the interception.
The Rodney Poole interception.
Right. But it was quick.
But most of the time, you're right.
Here's the difference on that.
Yeah.
That was not a successful play and was setting up a third down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you have a 30-yard completion downfield, you can rush to the line and afford to give up the next play.
Right.
If that play is deemed incomplete, it's now setting up third and 10.
Right.
You can't rush to the line and run the next play.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I remember that.
Now, I don't know exactly what the situation was on the Rodney Poole interception. It very well could have been first and 10. But either way, even if it's first and 10, you don't want to run to the line and give up second and 10.
Right.
And put yourself in third and long, right?
Right.
That's the difference between completing a pass down the field and now I can say, all right, well, if I have to give away a play, I'm not going to lose my 30 yards.
Exactly. Andy's back without
pizza. How's Bill?
It seemed like he was in a very good mood.
Did you miss him? It's been a while since you've actually
and he was
seen him.
Very nice. Very smiles.
Mm-hmm. Did you ask a question, by the way? A
couple.
Okay. And did he give you an Andy?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
PFW's been shut out so far.
I was telling Paul, I don't know if you realize this.
Why do you have a large thing over your head? What is all that?
They're dressing up the set for your
really big shoe.
Okay, proceed. Sorry.
I don't know if you knew this, but PFW is a source of motivation this week for the team.
I've heard that.
We have been posted on the door of the dining room because all the people who picked in our newspaper all picked Miami. So,
but Paul, you're wrong that PFW's been shut out, though. Listen to this.
Kevin's a good football player. He's smart. He's tough. He's got good skills.
You're a tool.
Wow.
No, I really do
think
Bill
was
in a good mood.
Myself.
Huh?
I thought Bill was in a good mood. You know, very high on the Dolphins and everything they do. You know, every player that was brought up. I asked a question I thought was interesting. I thought he
impresses himself with his own questions.
No, the answer. I asked about continuity in the secondary, and he talked about the importance of it, which I thought was interesting since I don't know the last time this team had continuity in the secondary. I mean, they literally all of last year and this year, week to week, you could look for guys to be benched, starting, not starting, roles, inside, outside. And he talked about the importance of it and having four guys that, you know, are on the same page and see the same thing and know what the other guy's thinking. And I thought that was interesting given the defensive struggles and pass defense in particular.
Well,
you know, I thought that was one of those that might get shot down. I had a follow up that either
well,
I didn't
you
ask
can
question
deny
or he
it,
didn't
but,
answer it.
But then,
I got lost.
But then the obvious thought is, well, you know, why don't you have continuity? Why doesn't the Patriots have continuity? The obvious answer there is
talent.
Talent. You know, sometimes it could be injuries, but really it's most, you know.
They've had a lot of personnel changes, though, in the secondary base just on game-to-game matchups, benchings, you know, all the way back to Denver last year.
They've tried a lot of things, bringing guys in, Sanders, like you mentioned, Bodden and Springs and
now
McGowan.
Kyle Arrington has been bumped up. Yeah. And I assume you talked about that Butler was in there talking, which, again, I give him credit for.
Yep.
You know, it'll only get you so far. At some point, you still have to make the play.
But I also like that he said, hey, it's a production business. You know, not like, I don't know what I did wrong. You know, a lot of guys, you know, take that approach. Like, I'm not sure. You know, it's up to the coach. I can only do what I can control. And he didn't say that. It's a production business. And clearly the inference was he doesn't feel he was producing at the level that he should be. But he said he wasn't going to change his approach and continue to work and prepare just the way he always would.
I liked when they asked if he understood the decision, and he said, I guess so.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those funny answers. Well, it's kind of a yes or no question. Did you? I guess so means no more than yes.
Right. Where's Eric? Do you know? Have you seen him?
He'll be by later.
Is he around? Did he go to Brady, or did you go to Brady? Or?
Brady was earlier at the beginning of the locker room. I did not go to Brady.
Eric must have gone?
So, I assume, yeah.
PFW bringing the best of the transcripts every week.
I just left Bill Belichick. I was bouncing around players. It's not my fault that rookies that play defense and are from Florida can't talk. Plus, I wanted to talk to Jermaine Cunningham. He said, I'm a rookie. I can't talk. I turn around. Rob Gronkowski's got 45 guys in front of his locker.
Plus,
I
spent the first 15 minutes telling you all the different guys who spoke and some of what those guys said.
Importantly.
In the locker room. Those are actually
orange freaking flip cards. How about that?
Wow.
Big fan of the Dolphins. And
why is that here?
That makes it hard to read, though.
Well, I just like orange, and I brought the competition in case you were interested, Fred, the Dolphin Digest.
Is that a weekly or a monthly magazine?
Monthly. 12 issues.
12 issues.
They have a nice center spread.
You get a full-time job out of that? 12 issues?
And it's a lot of, like,
what say you, Fred?
Gimmicky filler stuff, which I kind of like. I mean, I don't mind it. You know, ESPN, the magazine type stuff. They have a nice center spread.
Oh, they've always done very well with their cheerleaders.
The breasticles.
So.
What does it say, sweet what, on the cover?
Sweet start. Jason Allen in defense, coming of age. About time with Jason Allen.
Yeah. Eldred right up until the time they played a home game.
Eldred from Gastonia, North Carolina, says, the defense that I've been seeing is not a Belichick defense, missing tackles and blown coverage. I don't know why Bill thinks that we can win with young cornerbacks who look like peewee players instead of college players. The mistakes they are making was taught back in Little League in high school. We haven't had a better cornerback tandem like Ty Law and Rodney Poole.
Tyrone.
Yeah, he says Rodney. Why Bill doesn't go out to the free agents and come up with two cornerbacks and a pass rusher that is better than what we have now?
Like Sean Springs and Adalys Thomas?
Right.
Wow.
No, I'm just saying he's tried. Well, it didn't work.
Yeah. To be honest with you, cornerback may be the only position in free agency that he has tried more often than wide receiver and failed. I mean, Torrey James, Eric Warfield, Dwayne Starks, Sean Springs. There's a long list of veteran corners this team has brought in. Very few, Chad Scott, very few of them even contributed, let alone, you know, made an impact.
And those are the kind of guys you get in free agency. You rarely get Darrell Revis becomes available and you can sign. And they've drafted. They got all these second-round picks. You can criticize. This was the question one of the Ask PFWs, you know, Belichick the coach versus Belichick the personnel guy, the same topic we had last year. But he's tried, right? I mean, second-round pick is no slouch of a pick to go Wheatley, Butler, Chung, Cunningham. It's all pass defense.
Right.
Merriweather's a first-round pick. They've tried. They haven't hit yet.
Randy in Houston says that the Ravens have cut Trevor Price.
So now I can say Randy in Houston is reporting. Christopher Johnson was the guy who first reported.
Yeah, I'm going to give Christopher Johnson credit for that. He was the first to report it.
Any interest in him, do you think?
Sure.
Why not?
I'd have, as I said in the past, I'd have interest in my mother.
Why is he cut? Why do you cut a guy who's a veteran? Well, this point in the season.
Well, I'm going to assume he's done, but yeah. That doesn't mean
I
I'm not interested.
Have interest.
In. Done for them isn't done for us, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. They probably have a better front seven. Is that unfair to say? Baltimore? Maybe they don't need him. I think he might help. Why not? He's a guy who's played in 3-4 sets, so he has some experience. I don't know if he's been a two-gapper, per se. I don't know if he can be an outside. I think he's too big for that, but...
He's a guy that's gotten to the quarterback.
Yeah, just...
I'm interested in any guy that at any point in his life has gotten near a quarterback.
Hey, you know what? We need 25 snaps from you every week. See if we can get after the quarterback and maybe wreak some havoc. I don't know.
Did you see Sean Crable this week was another example of losing production based on the transition from game book to coach's tape? Because last week he barely made it into the game book with one tackle in his NFL debut.
Okay.
Now he doesn't appear on the team. Yeah, he doesn't appear on the team defensive stats after 3 weeks.
Oh, you know, that's incorrect because I actually saw the play that he made the tackle on. He made a tackle.
Wow. Paul Cole on BS to the coaches.
Well, you do know the whole thing with Chung. They corrected that because his coaching tabulation after week two went back up. So something happened after week one that.
So you tell me it's a PR
miscalculate. Well, I didn't say that.
Your head's bobbing more than Lindsay Petrucci's right now.
Wow. Along those lines,
is that something was lost in the translation.
I heard them discussing on the radio yesterday about Wilfork and the fact that his tackle numbers are down. In fact, I don't think he was credited with one.
He had nothing in the game. That was an interesting conversation, I thought.
Yeah.
And not a lot of, I didn't think, interesting comments were made as to what the reasoning was either way. But that's what happens when a show, sort of dips in the ratings and stops having football guys on a regular basis.
Wow.
And the host is fat.
No, I like the host. I think the host is a sharp guy now.
I think the host is an a-hole.
But what do you think about that? Is that a sign of anything? Do you take anything out of that? Or, hey, he's a nose tackle. He's tying up two people. What do you expect?
Well, I'd go in two directions. I'd like to make it a positive because for the last year and a half, I've said it's a bad thing that he's near your leading tackler and making all your plays. I just wish I had seen other guys stepping up to make plays and that he was just eating up blocks, and I didn't see that. The Bills had success on the ground, so it's hard to kind of spin it as a positive. Yeah, I'd like to.
A couple of things. The conversation was talking about – now, listen, I don't beat up on nose tackles for not making tackles, for sure.
What about defensive ends?
No.
Because he plays that too.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
But I don't necessarily think those guys now, I don't think you should go a game with zero and not even appear on the stat sheet. You should have one, at least, one or two.
Zero.
But one of the points being made was that teams are running away from him. Well, if he's playing nose tackle, that's sort of impossible. Number one. Number two, as you both just pointed out, they've also moved him to end a lot. And I think, by the way, he's not looked good at that. I think he's been getting pushed around a little bit and hooked at end, and that's part of the reason why they're getting wide, well, at least on Sunday. They had a bunch of stats that they brought out. You know, what teams are averaging in the different gaps. And
stupid.
They mentioned they were averaging like 5.6 a carry wide, 4.8 a carry in between the, you know, the guard and tackle, off tackle, and it was like 2.8 up the middle. Well, no kidding.
Well,
you know, that's not necessarily an indication. They were like 12th or 13th in the league, that 2.8 up the middle.
But an additional problem,
you're
going to
have a lesser average up the middle than you will off tackle.
It's week 3. All the numbers were like 8 carries of each example. So one carry of 22 yards, 30 yards, whatever, completely blows those up, as does a QB sneak for 1 yard where the guy might have gotten the first down, but,
right. Oh,
my average went down because he only got a yard.
Right.
So early season splits like that, in my mind, after 3 weeks where it's that, it's useless.
Right, it is.
And I also just think it's useless on a lot of levels to be breaking down your nose tackle based on any numbers. You know, it's kind of the old thing with Seymour. Everybody used to get mad because everybody would say, you know, his job doesn't show up in the stats. Well, I think there's some truth to it. Now, I think it can be spun both ways depending on your motivation. Is he a good player? Is he a bad player? How you spin it. But I still think Vince Wilfork's pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, if by chance he's not, you're in trouble. Because you just handed him a very lucrative long-term extension
as
the centerpiece of your defense.
I think he's very good.
I think he's fine. I will say, though.
But I don't think he's played great so far.
It's a lot easier to make the case like Richard Seymour when the rest of the team's defense is playing well.
Right. You know? Eating up blockers so guys can make plays if they actually make plays is valuable. Just eating up blockers isn't valuable if no one else is making plays. And that's my point. You know, he had no tackles. I'd love to say he's eating up blockers and allowing others to make plays. But the Bills had 5.6 a carry, so where were the plays coming from? I mean, you got to watch the coach's tape. You got to break down every play, see what he's doing. Is he winning his battle? He could win his battle and have no effect on a play.
You need the all 22. You need the all 22.
Maybe I'll just start sitting on top of the scoreboard and watching the
game. Yeah, and there was also a lot of talk about a lot of the run damage was done in the Jets game against sub defenses.
And Wilfork kind of led that charge.
Right.
A lot of his comments.
The run defense, I thought, was even worse against Buffalo, and it wasn't that situation. So, again, they're not playing that well. You know, and that's everybody. Doesn't mean that Wilfork's not a great player, because he is.
Chris from Stanford says, one quick question in two parts. How would you rate the top five Patriots on offense and on defense? Even if I spot you Brady, Moss, and Welker, it gets tough to figure out the top four and five offensive guys. Even tougher to find the best players on defense. I'd be interested to hear what you think. And one last comment based on your discussion about the Bills dumping Trent Edwards with all the hoopla over Ryan Fitzpatrick's performance. How do we know Edwards wouldn't have been somewhat successful against this defense?
We don't.
Yeah.
The top five, Brady, Moss, Welker, Hernandez right now?
I think you'd have to put Hernandez there, yeah.
Would have to go four. Five.
Probably a lineman.
As Bill said, we don't care about the offensive line. Oh, no, actually, he just said we care about the offensive line. It was an interesting answer about Dan Conley where he was raving about his contributions in the kicking game as well as on the line. And he goes, but I know all you guys care about is the offensive line. And I'm thinking, that's the first time the media has ever been accused of caring about the offensive
line. Well, if we're just going to go on what we think, you know, right now his numbers don't say, but Gronkowski could be right there, too.
And you know, he's produced in his role.
Right. So,
sure.
You know, then on defense, you know, you got Wilfork, number one, right?
Not according to some who think he's.
Mayo, two.
Wasn't that the whole argument?
I'd say right now.
I don't even have a two through five.
I'd say Chung, three. And then it gets tough. No, you know, is it.
Guyton, maybe?
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean.
I think Chung has been fine when they run the ball. When they throw it, I don't. You know, he's part of the problem too. I don't really have. Listen, we're not closing the door.
So Jimmy,
it's a lot of first and second year guys, and I'm willing to ride it out. But right now, 3 weeks in, it hasn't been good.
Gerard Warren, who'd have thought he'd have a couple sacks?
I think Warren has been sure. probably better than most expected.
Sure.
Never good when you can't come up with a top five on an 11-man team.
Jay from Portsmouth, England, seeing as the Elmo, a.k.a. L-Train, a.k.a. Kool-Aid, a.k.a. Punani running back experiment has come to an end, do you think Bill will now be more adverse to drafting a back in the first or even second round? Maroney aside, the highest drafted backs we've taken in Bill's tenure are J.R. Redmond and Cedric Cobbs, a who's who of who. The reason I ask...
No, I think it's a lock they take one in the first or second round.
The reason I ask is because as successful as our passing game is, I'm getting fed up not being able to run the ball consistently when it matters. Last Sunday aside, against the terrible Bills D, even selling play action. A lot of the time I've seen Tom use it so far this season. His first look is Moss, and he throws it most of the time anyway. If we had a legitimate running game, perhaps these DBs aren't as close to Moss as they have been, and we'd be seeing a different story so far this season. Being able to eat up the clock and keep time of possession sure seems important when I cringe every time the kids hit the field and pretend to play defense. I know Andy's feeling about a guy like Mark Ingram, but what kind of back are you looking for in the first round if not him?
Ridiculous.
Someone in the Chris Johnson / CJ Spiller mode? Because from what I've seen of Ingram this year, barring any stats he put up against Duke, because let's face it, it's Duke, he looked like a legitimate all-around talent.
And also for Andy's benefit, Jerod Mayo made a play once in the preseason this year on a two-point conversion. He picked off a batted pass. So there, playmaker. Book it.
Playmaker.
He also made a play, had a sack in the Bills game. So
after making a tackle for a short gain.
Right. So you can no longer say he doesn't make plays. He's made
That was more Paul than me. I don't think he's a playmaker. Because I pointed out, when he returned last year, he had a forced fumble. I don't know if it was the first series or very early in his return to the lineup after the knee injury. He's had a few. He just hasn't had enough for the position he plays and the amount of times he's involved with the ball.
I certainly will not back away from my description, but you just said, Fred said you can't say he's not a playmaker. And you said...
No, he said you can't say...
He doesn't make plays.
Right. And I said...
And you said, that's more Paul. I don't think he's a playmaker.
Right. There's a difference. There's guys who aren't playmakers who make plays.
Well, I don't know what that difference is, and I don't want to get into a Fred-Paul argument here. But when I say that I don't think he's a play... He doesn't make plays, doesn't mean I don't think he's ever actually physically tackled a guy on an NFL field.
Oh. Well,
that's a play.
That's what we meant. No, it isn't.
He made a play Sunday.
A tackle is not a play.
He made a sack Sunday. That's a play.
That was a borderline play. The guy who should have made the play was Tully Banta unblocked.
I don't think he's a consistent playmaker. I don't think when the season is over, you're going to see three sacks, forced fumbles, maybe a couple of fumble recoveries and an interception.
Patrick Willis.
Like the good inside linebackers do. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Patrick Willis is great. That's where I'll differentiate. I believe he's a Hall of Famer if he stays healthy. From what I've seen, the guy is the next in the line of the great middle inside linebackers in this league.
Unless the coach doesn't just, detonate the whole team.
Well, I think he will outlast the coach there by a mile.
Yeah.
But if he can make it to the end of the year, I think he'll do that.
Oh my God, what's going on out there?
Oof. Another little tidbit out of Belichick. I urge people to read the transcript to get the exact quote. But there were some different questions about Tom Brady having more options this year. Last year, someone tried to tiptoe into forcing it to Moss and Welker. And Bill acknowledged, he started out, I think Tom's done a great job finding the open receiver every year, whatever. But he acknowledged, when you have more confidence in guys, sometimes you stay on them a couple seconds longer, figuring if they can get open, it's a better option than the others. I thought that was as close an admission to, we didn't have a lot of options on offense last year, and he didn't want to throw to Isaiah Stanback and these guys, as you'll get from Bill Belichick. I thought, staying with Moss and Welker a little longer on the reads, which I thought was interesting.
It is interesting. Philippe in Sweden wants to know if we should sign Trevor Price. We just talked about that. He also says, I don't know if you listen to Pete Shepard.
No.
But please get him to talk faster. If he would stop taking breaks between every other word, you can make it a one-hour show with just as much content. And also he
now
says,
I'm going to have to listen to see what that sounds like.
I'm not sure how it happened, but since Acra left Shop Talk, it's pretty good. Wow.
That's still on?
Shop Talk. They have a big show today. They have a memorabilia expert on. They're going to be giving away a signed item.
Signed by who?
I don't know, but it's a signed item by someone on the Patriots.
And he gets back. If it's lunch with Matthew Slater, it's not quite as valuable as lunch with Tom Brady.
That's a big show.
Did you talk about Tom Curran's push for ratings?
Hold on. One other thing. He says, if I ever come by any money, this is Philippe in Sweden, I'll make sure to buy you lunch, but don't count on it happening anytime soon. Philippe having a tough time in Sweden.
You could send some meatballs.
Yeah. Swedish meatballs?
Yeah. Or
cook perfect meatballs.
How about fish? Just Swedish fish? Those candies?
I didn't get that at first. But don't they have hot blonde babes in Sweden?
Oh,
what they're known for?
Yeah.
But send one of those as well.
Yeah. So what are you saying about Tom Curran's push for ratings?
I could always eat
your
salad.
I don't know. I saw him standing in front of Tom Brady with a microphone and a camera, standing in front of Randy Moss with him. I think, he's trying to make a push for ratings on the Thursday night football block by
Well, what is he doing?
Getting star. I don't know. You'll have to watch to find out.
You were standing in front of people, too, today in the locker room. What was he doing?
I didn't have a microphone with a Comcast Sportsnet mic flag and a camera.
Well, he's interviewing people. But is he doing anything specific that's kind of crazy?
I don't know. I'd watch the show to find out.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to steal his thunder. He's putting together a show.
So he's got something up his sleeve, you're saying?
Up his pink sleeve. He had a pink shirt on.
Okay. All right. That show's on tomorrow night, right? Yeah.
I was giving him a hard time about how we're blowing him away in the ratings.
What did he say?
He kind of laughed. One of those laughs where the guy's a little mad about it.
Yeah.
Because he joked that the first couple weeks, he would get in on Friday, and the first they'd be like, ratings, great job, Simon. And then last week, silence all day Friday. No one talked to him.
Is that
nothing.
Right? That's a cutthroat business. It really is.
Which is why it's fun for us. We're not really TV
right.
guys.
Because
right.
if we get good ratings, we can crow about it. Or right. if we don't, actually, we just say, well, that's
like we just
guys.
Said, if they called us today and said, you're canceled, we'd be like, okay.
He called
see you
us
later.
The franchise, by the way.
Hey, what are we doing next week, by the way, schedule-wise?
We have to do it on Wednesday.
Okay.
We have no choice, right? You know?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Since
yeah.
Monday
back
night
here at
game,
like 6
we're
in the morning.
The only other option would be if they wanted to come in at 9 o'clock after we finished editing.
Oh, Paul. It's
there's a part of me that really wants to try it just to see how that
it
train
takes
wreck
it,
comes out.
It takes
out.
Us like 2 hours. I mean, yesterday we filmed it. It was pretty smooth. I think it was as fast as we've done it.
Yeah. We're getting better.
And I don't know how long it took you guys in the hall, but it was 2 hours until you guys got to the hall. So let's say it's 2.5 hours. I mean, after doing what we have to do after that Monday night game.
I think 3 hours to get everything is the best we can do, pretty
yeah.
much. Moving around, scenes, everything.
So what are we going to be done at 10 in the morning doing the paper?
Yeah. So we would, mid-afternoon, we'd be going on
I can't do that.
2 days of no sleep.
I couldn't do it.
But I think it would be entertaining to see us.
And we do have the advantage that it's heading into the bye week. So there may not be the regular schedule in terms of open locker room and all that stuff. We might luck out.
I say we just make a run at it.
I don't.
In our underwear.
I
however
well,
we
want,
are when
I
we
don't
finish
want to make
the
a
paper.
Run at that. I'm with Fred.
I can't do it. I mean, really, it's bad enough the toll that
we're
this
gonna
takes
be, yeah, we're going to be driving home at like 8:30 in the morning.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to get back at 6. I figured
well,
2.5
hours. I gave Tori the heads up, and I haven't heard back from him.
Well, he's got the flu or something.
Tori Champagne.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to edit the show this
he's
week.
Not healthy.
Tell you who's sick is my wife.
Tell you who's sick is my
she's
wife.
She's going to the doctor.
Take her,
today.
Put on my stand-up act.
No, she's
take my wife.
Well.
No, take her, please.
Hey, girl.
Mario from San Benito, Texas. Hey, guys, what's up? I just wanted to get in a quick question while at work. I know Paul has kind of been on Mayo for a bit, but I
see,
wanted
it's
to know.
Paul.
But I wanted to know if you guys think he's reached his peak as a player, or does he still have room to grow? If so, will he be as good as Brusky was at his peak around 03-04? Thanks, guys, and as always, great and entertaining show.
Not even comparable.
What
the
do you
one
mean?
Thing Brusky had was big plays. He had a knack for the big play,
but not when he first started. Not
yeah,
his
that
first
guy
three
said
years.
The peak in 03-04.
Right. That. Brusky came into the Patriots.
But the guy specifically asked, compare him to Brusky at his peak in 03-04.
No, would you
I think
have ever
said,
thought
can
he'd
he
be
get
that good in, after
no.
watching his first 3 years?
I think he's
Brusky.
Asking if he could get there.
But I didn't draft him in the top 10 as an inside linebacker.
But I'm just saying.
He had a position change. He was a mid-round pick who, at best, was thought to be a
whatever.
Situational rusher and a special
whatever.
Teamer.
So he had a longer way to go to get to where he eventually
yes,
got to.
Yes.
So did you ever think, after watching 3 years of Teddy Brusky, he could be that good? The answer is no.
Right.
Okay, so Mayo could get that good.
Sure. But it shouldn't take
minute,
that long.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. I'm with you to a point here, Freddie. Just because we didn't think Brusky could get that good doesn't mean that Mayo can now get that good.
No, but
what are you seeing?
But I don't want to hear somebody say because we haven't seen it yet, he can't do it. We didn't see it after 3 years with Brusky either, and he did it.
So Maroney could still be great. He could still be Corey Dillon.
Well,
but I think
back,
the more accurate,
you can say anybody
running,
in the world
running
could get
back
good.
Is a totally different position and defense. We talked about this yesterday.
But this is but you're
know,
talking about two different things too. You're saying Teddy Brusky, 1996, 97, and 98, you would have never thought it, and I would agree with you. But talk about different position. He was all over the place early in his career.
Right.
They didn't know how they wanted to use him.
Right. Well, whatever the
well, this guy
Gerard Mayo came in.
It's
and
more
day one.
It's more true. Accurate to say in 2001, 2002. Did you think Teddy Brusky? And yeah, there were signs. Yeah.
Well, I
those were his first 3 years in that system.
And I see signs this year that Mayo is going to be better than he was in year one, which I think was at least comparable
okay.
or better than year two because
then,
of the injury.
Then Andy, you're right. About me with Mayo, then, because I don't see those signs. I see a very solid. I see a solid every down NFL player. That's all I see. I don't see a standout. I don't see
you watch.
I don't see a playmaker. I don't see a difference maker. That doesn't mean he's a stiff. Doesn't mean he's a bust. He's a solid every down player. And I don't think there are a lot of every down linebackers in football. I think he's a solid guy, and I think he could do a lot worse. I haven't seen this side that you're talking about. I haven't seen signs of that.
Okay. Aaron from Sterling, good show so far, even though you are a big head and a sweater vest short of a full roster.
Yeah, we needed the big head. I actually gave you props, Andy. We can't do it You can't do it alone.
Plus, I'm a little bit more in a daze than I usually am today.
Why?
I disagree.
I took a couple muscle relaxers because I've got this pinched nerve, and it's really making me uncomfortable.
What kind of muscle relaxers?
They were my wife's. I don't know.
Menstrual?
No.
Oh.
So
you guys just keep muscle relaxers around?
I'm in a little bit of a fog.
So Fred's real emotional today.
Is it really affecting
Why
you?
Why are you picking on me?
Should you not be driving and operating heavy equipment?
Probably.
Driving and operating
heavy. Probably. Does a laptop count as heavy equipment?
No. Well, yours might. It's made out of metal. It's one of those tough books.
Yeah. Anyway, Aaron says...
Do you like that story I gave you?
Which one?
The thing about your thing.
Yeah, I did.
The thing about your thing.
I did.
It was something that was kind of... And it was $199, those things I was talking about, right? Isn't that what the story said? $199 available. Stephen Ross, the Dolphin. It's appropriate
to
this
rent
week.
It or to buy it?
To buy it. Available on some website.
Can we go and steal one of those when we're at the game this week?
They've changed them. Because remember, they used to look like a price gun. Remember, a couple years ago, they came through the press box and they were showing them to the media.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And it had like a handle with a screen. And in the story I gave you, it showed a different
item. They have a different one.
Looked more like a PSP kind of shaped thing.
Right.
But the Dolphins are, I mean, Stephen Ross, the Dolphins are at the forefront of this, right?
Stephen, well, he's part owner.
No, I know. Yeah. But they started doing it more and bringing it around NASCAR. They're trying to spread.
NASCAR's very good because
you need it.
You can go to the different pit crews and you can see.
No, but even like lap down and this guy's on the lead lap and not on the lead
lap. There's a lot of data that comes out of a NASCAR race, which is a lot more interesting than watching the cars go in a circle. You know?
It's an oval, isn't it? Technically.
And dodging. You know, stray tires.
Right.
That kill you.
Anyway, I haven't finished Aaron's email.
It says, I didn't think it was really all that sterling.
Speaking of rosters, I'd like to play the role of the typical Pats fan and ask, have the Pats signed ex-Raven Trevor Price yet? Well, also, what's holding back the Patriots' running game is the O-line or the RBs or, dare I say, the play calling?
Well, Paul's giving me the nod, but you guys discussed there's no longer open spots. So
yes, we
take
did.
Another trend. Okay.
Right.
We did.
The running game played pretty well last game.
Running game was excellent on Sunday. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis' best game as a pro by far.
Yeah. So, you know, three games is too small a sampling, but we've seen good and bad. You know? Now we got to see what is the norm.
Well, we need to see.
Norm!
Norman.
What do you do? I sit there.
Well, we have to see some consistency from Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in particular.
Yeah. I'd like
he's
to see.
He's had some good games, and then he's had games where he's had 2.2 a carry and did nothing.
In particular, I'd like to see them be able to run the ball when they need to run it against a team that can stop the run.
I'd just like to see consistency. Get me 80 yards a week, Ben Jarvis. 2-3 weeks in a row. Show me you can do it.
Okay. Because
Fred Taylor, I didn't see in the locker room today, did you?
No. I have a feeling that that's. More than just a minor injury.
Is it just me or do I just get pissed off when guys who are always hurt get hurt again?
Yes.
It just pisses me off.
Well, you know what happens, I think, is the karma police come and get you because you root for injuries so often.
Oh,
sooner or later, these guys become Patriots, and then all of a sudden, a guy that you've been rooting for to get hurt in the past is a Patriot.
How do you explain Fred Taylor before?
You're
damn Skippy.
You've been rooting for him to get injured because he's been a good player for other teams.
Fred Taylor to get injured. Come on.
You root for everybody.
Of course, he does not suck. No, but it just pisses me off when guys get hurt.
Don't you think it pisses him off?
I hope so.
Because I don't think he's Fragile Fred, like they used to call him. I find it hard to believe he's
Foofy Fancy.
No. Meow.
I don't think he's a meow, but it's just frustrating.
How do you think he's coming to the end? He only has so many games left. He missed the bulk of last year with an injury. You think he wants to miss all this year? And he's got the opportunity. They got rid of Maroney. He was the
guy. I'm not questioning him. I'm just saying it pisses me off.
But I think he's
it's
probably
just the
more
situation.
Off.
The situation pisses Fred off, not the player.
I'm not pissed off at
Patriot,
Fred Taylor.
Andy. Come on, he's a Patriot.
I'm not pissed off at Fred Taylor. I'm pissed off that he's hurt again.
Especially with a toe. It just doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good, but that's a damaging injury for a running back.
LT
lost it, whatever it is, because of a toe injury.
Deion did too, right?
Yeah.
Some of the great players, you get that little teeny toe thing right down there.
Yeah. Lightheaded. Andrew in the Ukraine, I've heard of the fair criticisms of the outside linebackers and the trade-down policies of Belichick. I think the trade-down policy has more to do with the poor drafts of 06 and 07 than a permanent policy. That's another thing I want to talk about. Anyway.
Trying to make up for lost
It also
picks.
Seems that everyone has been seems talking about how much better the team would be if we had stayed where we were and taken Clay Matthews. If Belichick had stayed and taken the playmaker that everyone wanted, we would have Clay Matthews and Sergio Kindle, but we wouldn't have Darius Butler, Brandon Tate, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Devin McCourty, Aaron Hernandez, or Taylor Price, who were results of those trade downs. Add in Brandon Spike, Zoltan Mesko, and Carolina's second-round 2011 pick, which we got for the 89th pick, and I think we need to stop the criticism of the trading down. Clay Matthews would be a great defensive player on a five-win team. I don't know what that
Paul,
means.
Say it. I know you want to say it. I know it's on the tip of your tongue, so just
I'd
say
like
it.
To have, now. I'd like to have a great defensive player on a five-win team now. Is that what you were looking for?
Well, I thought you'd say, well, Darius Butler might be an okay corner on a five-win team.
But. I think that the emailer is, in my opinion, being Andy Hart-like in his exaggerations. You just talked about every single trade down and every single player that they gained because of trade downs, because somebody wrote in on Tuesday saying they wish they had stayed put and drafted Clay Matthews. Well, you could have done that and still gotten most of those other guys that you just talked about. It wasn't like the difference between Clay Matthews and the 11 players you just mentioned. That wasn't the option. And by the way, if you're asking me about what would I rather have, one impact player. Now, I don't know if Clay Matthews is that impact player. I mean, I think he looks like he's a pretty good player, okay? Me and Andy were wrong, okay? He's a better player than we thought he was going to be. But I would rather have that kind of a guy than four okay players. I always would rather have a
How
star,
many guys on that list
standout.
Did you say, oh, I can't lose him?
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
I love Gronkowski. I could lose him.
You know, we just mentioned all those, you know, it's Butler, it's McCourty, I would rather have DeMarcus Ware.
Right.
Than
but
for any four of those guys on the list that you want to pick.
See, I'm not buying exactly what the emailer's point was. However, I'm also not buying the fact that Belichick always trades down. He doesn't. He did it noticeably in a couple drafts, but he's also traded up. And when he had a top pick, he took it. You know, Gerard Mayo.
When he traded down.
You know, Richard Seymour. You know, unless Belichick has changed his philosophy, he decided to take that pick.
Seymour was the one he took.
It was number 6.
Mayo he traded down.
But he still, you know, he still took a top 10 guy. You know, it's not like he.
Yeah. But, you know, but he did
McCourty,
trade down.
He still took a first round pick, but he traded
I mean,
down.
All those yeah. all those other traded downs, he didn't trade down like five rounds. He traded from like 28 to 32 or, you know, something, you know, 28 to 40. I mean, it wasn't like he just completely gave up the pick. He traded down a few spots. I think that tends to be what he would rather do if given the option. If a player there he's not in love with, he'd like to trade down. That's, I think, the way he likes to do it.
But did it have to do with the blown drafts and trying to make up and add? You know, you missed out on six
no,
guys
I
this
brought
year,
that
six
up a couple of weeks
year.
Ago. Remember,
you
I mentioned
get back
that to you.
24 by squeezing it in 2 years instead of four?
Well, I don't think
but,
so.
But I wondered that. Do you look at 06, 07, 08, he got arguably two players out of three, if you count the kicker. And did he look at that and say, I need quantity right here over quality because I need to restock this roster because all the young guys I got the last 3 years aren't part of my future? Maybe he did. I doubt it. I think it was probably circumstantial. He probably didn't love the guy who was available with any given pick.
That's how I look at it.
And trade it down.
I
don't think he has a way. I don't think he has a thing.
He has blinders on. I'm on the clock at 24. These guys are available.
Right.
I don't think they're worth it. I'm trading down. And I think he does it again with the blinders on 4 picks later.
I think he does have this thing where
he's stuck on value in everything he does.
Well,
he's stuck on value.
If I think
he never buys the Sony. Always buys the JVC.
You know, if I think he says if there's a group of 10 players that I think are of all equal value and I can move down a number of spots and still get one of those players and pick up picks, I'm going to do it.
All things are never equal.
You know?
You know who taught me that?
Who's that?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
All things are never equal.
I really think it's as simple as that. And I think that if they saw Richard Seymour, they'd just get him. They wouldn't, you know, because they think he's better.
If he thinks it's value. Right. I think it's value to me. I think he's stuck on that word. I think it's inbred. That may not be the word I want in him, but it's just part of his nature, and he can't help it. Value.
Well, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do. You know,
like I bet he's scooping up land in Nantucket.
You know, with all the picks they have,
value.
You know, now they have good quantity, good quality picks, quantity and quality. coming up in 2011. So it'll be interesting what they do, if they just stay put and take what they've got. Or
they're still going to make them. Wherever they are, they're still going to make them.
No, you know, and they got to be good.
That's my point.
They got to hit on it, you know?
4 second round picks. Are they good, you know, or are they not good?
There's a lot of teams that have had high picks for a number of years. And
they're called the Raiders.
Well,
they're called the Lions.
You know, they still haven't figured it out.
That's why they get high picks again the following year.
Right. Let's see.
What's the Raiders' record? 1-2?
Yeah.
Prorate that over a full
season.
Your
boy season. Was over 100 yards again this week, by the way.
Who?
McFadden.
McFadden.
Well, he's got a winner behind him at quarterback now to help ease the load a little bit.
Eric's here.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Hey, Eric.
Ready?
How you doing?
Hey, Eric.
What's going on?
Fred's Practice. On tranquilizers.
And?
You're on tranquilizers?
Yeah, well, muscle relaxers. Yeah?
Why?
I got this bad pinched nerve in my back, and this is really bothering me.
Oh. Too much grooming.
Did you go to Brady today?
Lightheaded. No, I didn't.
So nobody goes to Brady.
I didn't.
I just can't believe this.
We have other things to do.
I was there, Fred. I told you.
Was there? I mean, I apologize. I didn't realize that you need. What is it that you were looking for?
I just don't
that
think
I didn't
we,
tell you.
You know,
already.
As someone should cover Tom Brady.
Probably. Well, if you're not going to ask a question, you get a transcript later. You find out what happened and what people did ask.
Here's where Eric goes into that Charlie Baker commercial by digging that hole.
Right.
And at the end of the day, yeah. And at the end of the day, you notice Charlie Baker says at the end of the day all the time.
We don't need to attend.
I didn't say we don't need to ever attend.
Well, Eric, according to Eric, we can just get the transcript.
Let Eric do this.
If you don't have a question to ask and you had other things to do and get, then yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing could happen at that press conference that you'd need to be there for? Or
if it did, you would find out about it.
Right. Well, so will everybody else that is reading about the team. But we're supposed to be covering the team.
Okay.
Can I talk now?
I just want Eric to continue.
You want to know what happened in practice or no?
Sure, go ahead, Eric.
Bad news, Freddie Taylor, not there.
Yeah,
we were just
talking
that.
About
at
that,
all.
How he
Fred's
wasn't in the locker room.
Off.
No,
Fred's pissed off.
And again, I'm not pissed off at Fred Taylor. I'm pissed off at the situation.
The situation, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what the guy,
what the guy from the Jersey Shore has to do with anything, but that's all right.
Oh, that him.
I'm and a little bit of a surprise. We didn't see Terrence Wheatley because he spoke today in the locker room
nonstop.
Usually, the indication that a guy is going to be returning that day. Maybe he'll return tomorrow, Friday, who knows. But
maybe he returned after you left?
Maybe. It's entirely possible.
No rules against that.
No rules against that, of course.
Late to practice.
Right.
Can Danny Woodhead play corner?
I'm not sure he can play running.
I don't know.
I saw him walking out with the long snapper.
Anything else, Eric?
black shirts. Five of them.
Jarrad Page.
Yep, one.
Carson Butler.
Nope.
Somebody in that area.
Brian Hoyer.
Yep, two.
You're just cheating.
No. I'm just guessing.
He played Chad Henne?
Well,
it was
no.
Last week.
Oh,
preparing for the Bills.
It's it doesn't make any sense in terms of that, because if he was playing Ryan Fitzpatrick,
he should not get a black jersey.
He obviously didn't do a great job of giving him good looks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just list them.
Okay. Dane Fletcher.
Oh, I saw him putting his on. Damn it.
Aaron.
And I'm cheating.
Aaron Hernandez. And Serge, Paul's guy, Serge.
Yeah, see, I got to stop doing with my theory, because obviously that theory is not in play anymore.
He was Jonathan Stupar? Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe it's just like you had a really good week of practice.
Maybe.
It's not so much about what look you give everybody. I don't know.
I don't like the looks he gives me.
full pad, sunny, hot, Miami-type weather out there and a fall day in New England.
Very
that was
muggy.
Funny because somebody asked about preparing for early season games in Miami, and Bill goes, what do you want me to do,
turn the temperature up
outside? Yep. Well, somebody did.
Yep.
You deal with the devils paying off again. You
it's
want
been,
somebody
it's been
plus
raining.
Mr. Heat Misers in New England.
Bill, no offense, but let's not pretend that you don't have the ability to do
right.
that, okay?
It's been raining cats and dogs for the last few days, and then today, practice, the sky's clear, the sun comes out, it's hot.
Could rain again, though. You know those. Sun
it could
showers.
Rain again. Sure.
Well, supposed big to on be, sun showers.
But
supposed to be a huge storm.
Deluge. Yes.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm not going to sleep tonight with my windows. It's supposed to be 50, 60 mile an hour winds.
You got rattly
Fred,
windows.
Fred, no. Have you ever seen a sun shower?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Connor does it every day.
No further questions.
Yeah. Sun showers are you know.
Quite common.
Sure.
Yeah. Especially, you know, late in the summer.
Yeah.
I love how you can reel him
really
in anytime
mad now.
You want.
No further questions.
Well, you really went mad there, didn't you?
Did you guys get into an argument about that?
No, because when I got the day that I got the bird pooped
on me.
You
know what time it is now?
The golden shower, Andy.
The day that the bird pooped on me.
A sun shower would
be a golden shower. At first, it was just a, remember, it was a tiny, tiny little bit. Right. I was like, I didn't know if it was raining. And they're like, it's sunny out. Look at the moron. You know,
that had nothing to do with the incident.
Never,
just look at the moron.
It's never rained while the sun was out.
Right.
Like, how could you think such a thing? That is all.
You know, could be one of those airplanes when they empty the commode.
Oh.
And you got to drop one.
Oh, God. Do they really do that?
The commode.
I think they're supposed to do it over the ocean.
What a maroon.
Right?
That's how they do it.
What about
over the ocean?
Yeah, but what about cross country flights?
And you're landing. What about, how about you wait till you land and pump it out?
Where do they flush them?
No, I think they do pump
process it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they
dump
that.
They wait till they get over a lake or something.
Oh God! So the pilot has to be like army trained to dump at the right time to hit a lake.
Folks, this is your captain speaking. We're
about to empty the commode.
We're going to be circling for the next 20 minutes as we
don't be alarmed at that
simulated toilet bowl flush.
I wish my toilet at home had the suction power that they have in those planes. You ever flush the toilet? You know, man, that's a lot of suction power right there.
Get a new toilet.
Yeah.
You've never seen those toilets they have at Home Depot that you can flush like 3 dozen golf balls and they go right down? It just
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Golf more expensive.
Wow. Fred, like, right there.
Liam in the UK.
Neeson?
First-time emailer from the UK. First, I would like to congratulate you guys on the great work you do. I couldn't recommend you guys enough to any Patriots fan. Anyway, enough of the ass-kicking in a vain attempt to get me on the radio.
Kissing, right?
Well done, though, Liam. Kissing. My question is, in regard to our upcoming schedule, with Miami coming up on Monday, then the bye week preceding that, we face what I believe to be a challenge schedule. Ravens, Vikings, Steelers, all extremely solid defenses coming up in the space of 5 weeks, plus an away trip to San Diego amongst those games, then Peyton Manning and his giant forehead comes to town. Should we get the result we all want on Monday down in Miami? I feel like being 3-1 overall and 2-1 in the division heading into a bye week would be a huge boost for the guys. However, that promising start could be pegged back by the before-mentioned teams. Is that stretch of 6 games after the bye week going to determine if we are a playoff team or a team looking in from the outside?
Yep.
I think absolutely. Yeah.
It's a tough schedule. It's a tough schedule.
Yep. And nothing.
And that's the toughest part of it, that stretch there, I think.
Right. And, you know, you're kind of hoping that, Pittsburgh would get off to such a bad start and they'd be kind of reeling.
That's become
time.
A tougher game.
That's a tougher game
than you thought. And, you know,
Indy's a tough, going to be a tough
it's
game
always
as
tough.
Always.
It's always tough to go
San Diego's
to San
gonna
Diego.
Be tough. Yeah.
You know, Minnesota probably will be a little bit better. You know, unfortunately, we didn't catch them early. You know, it looks like they're struggling offensively right now. They'll probably be a little bit better in a month than they are now. They have a pretty good defense
probably.
So, yeah, there's not a cupcake. I think Cleveland is in the middle of that, Andy, if I'm not mistaken. That's the only one that would seem to be you could safely pencil that one in as a
W. But I think you hope for 500. It's kind of the standard I've held them for this month.
Oh, yeah, I think you'd be thrilled with
that. I think if you exit that at 5-5, I think you still have a very good chance at the postseason.
Right.
Because you still have tough games, but they're at home. Mm-hmm. You have the Jets, Miami, and Green Bay coming to Foxborough, mm-hmm. which we know for this team is huge.
So
the way they've been set up.
2-1 in that stretch.
You have at Detroit, so
3-1.
Yep. So we're up to 8-6. Mm-hmm. And you have at Chicago, at Buffalo. At Buffalo, you got to keep giving the Patriots till they don't.
You got to find a way to win both of those. But,
right. I think you can get out of that 5-5.
More than likely, you'll split.
You still have a chance.
But I
still think there's a chance that 10 wins is the East.
Oh, I think 10
how
wins
all
could,
these permutations of Jets, Patriots, 10
wins
Dolphins
could win you
out.
The East, I think, for sure.
Then tiebreakers, who knows?
But, you know, the situation with that, I think, is right, though. If they go 500, then they're still alive. But that's a tall task.
So you have your home games, Baltimore and Minnesota.
And Indy.
No, I'm just going in order first. I think both are winnable. Neither team, to me, has looked as good in the first month than they did on paper when I was doing the little schedule thing in July and August. I think every team has had its warts early in the season.
to some degree. Mm-hmm. I think certainly Minnesota has had some warts.
Yeah, they can't score. Can't move the ball.
Favre feels like he's getting better. I heard him talking about the other day, making some more plays through the air, feeling good. But Indianapolis, I mean, you know what that's going to be. It's Patriots, Colts. It's
even if you get right the now, I would say I don't
feel good about
that.
It all depends on
what
the defense is doing by that point. Really, that's what it comes down to. Because I think the Patriots will score on the Colts. You know.
Yeah, see, I have no thought that the Patriots defense will stop the Colts.
Yeah, I don't either.
None.
Well, at this point, but you don't know what's going to the team's going to be like by then.
I think they can be 5-5 after that stretch and make the playoffs.
I think they can be 5-5 after that stretch, too.
Fred in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Why did I become so positive?
Everyone.
5-5 after 10 games. He thinks is positive.
Well, I mean, certain schedules, that's. I'm not comparing them to 15-1, 16. I'm looking to make the postseason. You get in the tournament, anything can happen.
Fred says, everyone, there's been a breaking point, and I have reached mine. You guys are so concerned about not being homers that you've done a complete 180.
No.
The show has become unlistenable for any Pats fan who does not want to get thrown into a depression.
So stop listening.
If I did not know better, you could easily replace the name Patriots with the word Rams, and you would not know, be able to tell what team you're talking about.
Well, sorry if you don't want reality.
Yes,
go somewhere else if you don't want reality.
There's a one-game difference there. Relax.
Yes, the defense is struggling. I concede that point. But if it was up to you guys, all rookies would have one game to produce or get out. No room for any growing pains.
I believe I argued that benching Darius Butler this early in his tenure was terrible.
You guys can't bring yourself to cut Cunningham any slack just because
Cunningham.
The kid missed all but 2 weeks of training camp.
Cunningham has received no criticism at all.
I see a kid working his ass off and showing good strength. Once his technique is coached up, he will be an impact player. If you guys had your way, Chung and Brace would have been long gone, but both are showing good growth. I think the last straw was yesterday's show when you got an email about Brady taking the team on its back and no one would bring themselves to say a positive word about Brady. I've been with this team.
Are you kidding me? Stop it. Yeah.
Well, let me finish. One more paragraph.
Wait, what's the name on this?
Because
I want to put a name with this.
Fred from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
All of the other stuff you could make an argument about. We've sat here and made fun of ourselves for how we fall over each other to defend Brady, and now we're saying that no one can find a good thing to say about Brady?
I have been with this team.
Don't listen. Listen to somebody else's podcast.
You're wasting everyone's time.
I have been with this team from 1-15 to 19-1, and there have been great days
really
and awful
proud of you.
Days.
And it was 18,
for God's sake,
it was 18
and
right.
This
pay
is
attention.
A top
maybe you have a little more reasonable
that
email.
Should be talked about in
it's
the top proper
10
perspective.
Team. It's a top 10 team.
Let the young guys grow and enjoy some good football.
Well, play
when
some.
I see play some. I'll enjoy it.
38-30 wins at home against Buffalo don't qualify.
Exactly.
Sorry.
I'm just reading it.
Is he serious? We don't praise
Brady? We
don't
praise Brady.
I believe a week ago, when everybody was talking about how Brady forced it, we were defending him.
You and I got in an argument about the offense or the defense in the Jets, remember? And
right.
I was saying, why do we hold the offense to such a higher standard just because their expectations there? Their play was much better than the play of the defense.
Right. It's just one man's perspective on why you guys are getting very defensive.
Yep. That's what I do.
I think you protest too much.
No.
What?
No, you're just saying that because his name's Fred. Yes.
No.
Fred,
yes.
By the way, he was talking about you, too.
No,
he said, you guys.
He actually put my name in quotations, Fred, and I didn't read it.
He said,
it.
You guys.
I'll show you the email.
He said, you guys.
So your name's not really Fred? Why is it in quotations?
I left myself out purposely, but he did say,
he
except
said, you
Fred.
Guys.
Oh, except
he said,
Fred.
Except Fred in, quote, in parentheses.
So.
Well, first of all.
You cut ties with the team in the first quarter against the Bills.
Yeah, you're the one who is most depressed out of everybody.
This is where
we need
cameras. Ding, 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 ding.
You know, and the guy obviously doesn't listen because we haven't had one bad thing to say about Jermaine Cunningham.
Paul, it's selective hearing.
What?
It's
when the 260-pound fullback killed him. And
I'm talking about
consistently. I mean.
We haven't said anything about him being a bust, about him not being able to play. Not one thing. We both have been very defensive of Darius Butler, saying that we think it's not the right move to give up on this guy, and I don't really think it was the right move to bench him. Now, I guess he must be mad at Belichick, too, because he's making all kinds of moves and whatnot with his personnel. So clearly he's not happy.
Who did they beat in the 19th game when they went 19-1? I missed that game.
Well,
I think he meant 18-1.
I mean, we can make
just fun
of. It
shows that his facts and details aren't accurate.
We
so
can
I don't
make
know why
fun of the Rams.
Very defensive.
The Rams are
very
one.
Defensive.
The Rams are 1-2, right? Patriots are 2-1. So why are we making fun of one?
Based by Paul Perillo's win-based formula.
That's a one-game difference based on my Bill James win shares.
Fred, Paul, Pete, and Andy.
I know this isn't your department, but for the love of all things holy, get some new sponsors or at least new ads for the same sponsors. I am ready to buy some ad space myself and just play 30-second spots or music or something so I won't have to hear the fake dad spot again.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Now, that one I agree with. That's a good email followed by a bad one.
We don't have new ads.
We have a lot of listeners and nobody else trying to do anything about getting us new ads.
Maybe instead of asking for lunch, we should ask for sponsors.
No. Just ask for lunch. Shut your
mouth. What if the sponsor can also get us lunch?
Then that's fine.
Okay.
Like Qdoba.
What was that?
Every day?
Oh, boy.
I didn't even like it once a week.
I'd be dead by 32.
Yeah.
And I'm already 32.
If we had one sponsor that every show we had to eat their food, who would
you pick? Capital Grill.
Well, I would.
Oh, you would have a steak every day?
Sure.
Oh, jeez.
You really wouldn't be able to close
the
You think I got like this by accident?
Yeah, since this is PFW in progress, about yesterday when someone said, Paul, are you going to button your jacket? And you said, no, I can't really.
Well, I could, but it looks like.
But you would have taken an eye out when the button went.
Oh, it looks like fat guy in a little coat. I don't think I could eat anything every day.
Well, we're pretty damn close to Pizzeria Grande. We have it often enough.
Bar Louie has enough of a selection where you could.
I would go Grande.
I would stay with Grande.
Not for me.
While we're on the subject, I sent out an email for you guys to answer later when you get back to your desk, but we're having CBS scene tomorrow.
Are you sure? Is it a mistake?
Is it going to? I like that. A quick side note that I just learned. I'm not sure if anybody else knew. Did you know Tony Sperano had a freak grease accident when he was young, and that's why he wears the sunglasses?
Yeah, that's why he wears the sunglasses.
A what accident?
Clearly no one... Grease.
Oh.
He was in a fast food restaurant or something. But clearly the Fox announcers a week earlier in the Metrodome, when they said, oh, a guy who wears sunglasses inside, and we're mocking him.
Well, I said,
you mean like Fred Kirsch?
The announcers did. They were joking about his sunglasses.
During the broadcast.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly they didn't know the story. But yeah, he was blind for like 2 weeks after the accident.
I didn't know that. Hadn't heard that story at all. By the way, 2 days a week is not 7 days a week.
You know what? Well, we only do the show 3 days a week.
No, but the question that Fred said, if you could have one thing to eat, one restaurant to eat every day,
Could supply our food every day, what restaurant?
Every day as in 3 days a week, or every day as in seven?
Every day that we're here.
So three.
Okay.
Grande is fine with me.
God.
Well, no, because I thought you meant every day.
No. That we're here.
I couldn't eat anything every day.
That's what I was saying.
I would vomit. I'd stop being able to eat it.
But if the restaurant has enough selection, it's okay.
It's true.
Yeah,
but
it's
lost on me because I don't like that menu.
I go to Cheesecake Factory. It has the biggest menu on the planet, and there's like
three things
I
would order.
And they got rid of one of them. I don't know why. The Mile High Meatloaf Sandwich.
They got rid of the Landstone Diner.
The barbecue Western Burger Double
thing? They still have one, but it's not the same, and it's not anywhere near
as good. You would want Arthur's to be the sponsor every day, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't.
Obama's wife.
Yeah.
She's really trying to help eyes. I'm making up a word. Health eyes America. And I'm sick of it.
We actually tried to do Bar Louie, but they wouldn't.
They don't take credit cards over the phone.
So they hassled us to the point where Doc and I just decided they're not getting our business.
I have an idea. Bring your business into the fact.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Now dropping F-bombs about food.
21st century. Fuck, crying out loud.
Well, they take credit cards. They just don't do it over the phone.
Do they take out orders? Well, then they should take it over the phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You live in a business park where there's offices.
Exactly.
You're going to tell me that a bunch of doctors don't want to get together and order some food. And come on, take credit cards.
Someone's got to go get it.
It's ridiculous.
And they give the credit card.
It may be the secretary, not the doctor, who's
buying. It is a weird thing.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly. It is
stupid.
Screw Louie.
One guy screwed it up once, and they said, we're never taking credit cards over the phone again.
It is stupid, I agree. Wow. But how rare is it that someone would order something on a credit card and not show up to present the credit card?
In a place like this, an office park with stores and group lunches, and how
someone's
often do
you
got throw...
to go to get the food, and someone would have the credit card.
But you're not really supposed to do what you do.
Usually,
somebody else sign your name for your credit card.
But usually, someone from London isn't calling in the order. This is a rare thing here.
No, but it's no different. They just
don't
take them over the
phone.
If
it's an office park with a because they need to see it.
My pizza
so
place down the street
takes it
over the phone.
But I don't.
Everybody takes it over the phone. I think it's worse
if they allow somebody else to sign for it. I mean, now you're actually saying, I have the credit card, I'm just going to sign it. This isn't me, but I'm just going to sign it. Yeah. I mean, credit cards are taking over the phone for everything all the time. It's the way the world works. You might get hosed every once in a while. Get over it.
I know.
Plus, you don't end up getting hosed. The person with the credit card gets hosed.
Right. Christian from Denmark writes in, I propose this game/lunch offer. If either Mayo gets a pick, or Butler gets a pick, or Cunningham gets a sack by the end of the season, if this happens, I'll buy you lunch. If, however, it doesn't come to pass, I would like to see Fred race Paul in a timed 40-yard dash with video, or Eric punching Andy, also with video.
I like that one. Am I allowed to punch back?
No.
I don't. That's stupid.
So there you go. Do
this reminds me of what I was saying to you in the locker room.
Do we take it up? Well, we can owe his brother-in-law.
Well, yeah. First of all, we most questionably, unquestionably,
so you're
going to
walk
brother-in-law, right?
Because there's only advancement above brother-in-law.
If I ran as hard as I could for 40-yard dash, no, my hamstring absolutely would pop. There's no question about it.
Fred's
if I
not
tried to
have
run
that
as fast as I could for 40 yards, my hamstring would
muscle
definitely go.
Ooh, I'm just flowing.
But I will definitely be. I'll take that. I'll take you up on that. We
okay,
can time
me too.
It.
Wait,
there's no way I'll break 6
in
seconds.
The face,
but
we have to have
chest,
video too.
Stomach.
Yeah, no, we'll have KSP film it.
Yeah,
what else are they doing?
Well, I should hit you in your head. It's the strongest part, right?
That's true. If you hit me right in the forehead, I bet you'd break your fist.
I probably would.
Eric's still here.
This reminds me of Fred. Are you okay that Sean Crable doesn't speak at all in the locker room? Has no interest in talking to the media at
no,
all.
I have no problem.
Oh, you talked to him today?
No.
No, nobody
you
did.
Tried to, I mean?
No, the two people ahead of me that were walking towards him, he said, no, I can't or something.
I have no problem with
so I said to Eric, I said, let's make a deal with him. He has to talk if he ever gets an NFL sack.
Makes a play. Just makes
he has
a
to
play.
Talk, makes a play. And then I would have followed it up with, don't worry, you'll never have to talk.
You said that to him?
No,
that's what
he
was telling me that's what we should say to him.
I got to give credit to all these guys. Darius Butler last week who says, it's a job. It's part of the job. Talking to the media. I know that we get to the fans. We have fans. The media is the.
I don't care.
To me, it's one of those things where I like the good of the job, but not the bad.
Do you care?
I always think it's better the way Andy just described that a guy like Butler, Mike Vrabel used to think. You know, Mike Vrabel didn't like it.
Right.
But he thought it was part of the job.
Do you care, Fred, that there are a couple of rookies who decline to talk because they say they're not allowed to because they're rookies, even while saying so,
when there's
two other rookies are holding court with huge
gaggles of
media
about
them.
There's no such restrictions, clearly, because the rookies have been talking
pretty freely.
They've
probably been strongly encouraged not to.
Yeah, I think it's part of the job, personally.
Yeah, it should be part of the job.
I use the same thing I always would say. If they want to play football but not have anybody talk about it or ask them about it, go on a cornfield in Iowa somewhere. No one will watch. Go play, and
no one
will pay
you
either.
Right.
Well,
go play in the UFL. No one's watching
that. No one's watching that
either. Attendance record, 20-something thousand in Hartford.
Wait, the PR people from the NFL writing their releases?
Adam Fry, what's his name?
This week I think it's Culpepper versus Garcia in a big battle.
Yeah, they call it a rumble or something. Garcia, Culpepper, rumble.
The rumble in the cornfield?
I'll take Culpepper.
Oh, in an actual rumble?
Yeah.
A rumble. That's a blowout. Yeah, in a real rumble?
Matt from
Culpepper.
Springfield writes
squish
in.
Like grape.
And then he can do rolling.
Matt from Springfield says, I just can't believe some of the things I see from an NFL team as far as offensive tendencies. Dating back to last year, the Pats' first play of the game is a 5-receiver set. They have like 9 guys doing 4-yard hitches, and Tom throws to Welker for 5-yard gain. Second play, tight ends come on the field, and it's a run. But, oh my, they switched it up this past week and ran an end-around instead of a standard run. The Pats would never have a contest where if a fan correctly guesses the Pats' first 2 plays, they win a prize. They'd be giving away money. There's also a great chance that if Moss goes in motion, he's going deep. I can look at his body language and tell he's going deep. If I can see these things, why wouldn't paid scouts and players who spend hours watching film see these things and more? Also, I've seen your show on Comcast.
Do.
Great, great show and actually entertaining. No more of that lisping food. By the way, how does an ugly dude with an obvious lisp get a job on TV? Maybe affirmative action with a little, whoa.
I'm guessing it was fool, not food.
Yeah, fool. Lisping fool.
Who's the lisping fool?
I have no idea. Chris Collins.
Does he list?
Paul loves to bring names.
The guy is obviously
who's
talking
the guy
about
on
the
conference
guy
call talking about his William Benditson.
I heard some people breaking down the film of your show, pointing out creases in pants. I don't have that kind of time to pause and watch in slow-mo, but overall, the show was great.
It's pleats.
Yeah, and
not creases.
Yeah, that's Andy's crew there, and all the sartorially splendid people in Andy's life. Fred and I haven't heard anything in.
Fred has heard stuff. Oh,
from
he may
your
not have
crowd,
heard it.
From
but,
your crowd.
No. The comments on his gold button jacket from a week ago, I've heard endless from everyone, including Tom Curran. A lot of comments on that. What do they call him? Mr. Captain something?
A lot of comments.
Mr. Howell? No, somebody from the Love Boat. Mr.
Merrill Stubing.
Yeah, Merrill Stubing. A lot of those. They're lost on me. Because,
you know.
But that's just because of the style of
there'll
jacket.
Be a new Love Boat soon, though, right? I mean, Hawaii 5-0 is back. They must have Love Boat coming right down the pipe.
Let's see. Some other good emails coming in. PJ from Philly. Long time no email. No, you haven't, PJ. I haven't emailed in a while, but I have been listening intently as always. I have a big time problem with Jake Steele. Freddie, oh. You blasted the city of Philadelphia 3 times in 2 shows last week with little comments like, Paul doesn't like anyone from Philly, and you can't blame him. Very unfair, Fred. Philly is like a great anyone. Sports town and gets a bad rep. Go ahead, bring up the fact that they threw snowballs at Santa Claus, which is like 50 years ago. But nobody talks about the passionate and knowledgeable fans that gave Brian Dawkins a standing ovation when he returned here as a Denver Bronco, so much so that B-Dawk cried. Or the Phillies fans that gave Bobby Cox, the hated manager of the Atlanta Braves, a standing ovation when he brought out the lineup card a week ago because it was his last game in Philly.
Or the ones that throw batteries at players?
Yeah, and what about the ones that, you know, like, petitioned because they wanted to take Donovan McNabb instead of Ricky Williams, right? Or was that
other way around. They booed Donovan McNabb when they made the pick.
That's what I mean. Let's see. Leave Philly alone, Fred. You know you would love to have the noise and passion that we have at the link. Well, maybe that's true. Also, you guys are dead wrong about
Minus
Michael Vick. He has matured beyond belief.
Oh, yeah.
And is taking coaching. He's taking the coaching needed to make him a star again. He's becoming a passing quarterback with good accuracy so far and is not running as much, only 4 times last week. I have never been a fan of his style, but it has changed because of Andy Reid's coaching. And he looks like a QB now, not just an athlete. Hey, you can't argue with that, you know. Philly's not such a bad town.
I love Philly.
I had a good time. I had a good time in Philly.
I don't like Michael Vick, and I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I do like Philly a lot.
Yeah. Put that bell.
I had a college girlfriend.
Not all it's cracked up for
me. Oh, God.
Geno's and Pat's steaks,
though. Did you say you had an old girlfriend
there? Yeah, caught my college girlfriend was from Philly.
Let's see.
The dog?
No.
I thought she was from Jersey.
This is a real girlfriend.
I thought she was from Jersey.
Yeah. That's a different girl. Oh.
Mike in Florida says, thanks for keeping me on hold for 17 minutes while you talked about Fred's wife, muscle relaxers, and NASCAR. All I wanted to do was talk about the Patriots football. Excuse me. Did we have somebody on the phone? Was he on the phone?
I think we had Mike from Florida on the phone forever.
Oh, this is who it is. Yeah. I've been listening.
Why didn't you go to him?
We were busy. Eric came in. I got distracted. Talking about restaurants. I've been listening for more than 5 years and called for the first time today to get in on the Gerard Mayo talk. While you guys are semi-objective, I think you are still giving him too much credit simply because of where he was picked. I felt like punishing myself and watched him on every play of the Jets game. He was awful, consistently dominated by the offensive line and even tight end and fullback. He looked worse than Spikes and even Guyton. He made 2 to 3 easy plays against the Bills. He was untouched for the sack. Bottom line, he looks like a 4-3 run-around guy, not a take-on-and-shed guy. There is absolutely no other way to put it other than the problems on defense is subpar players. One person to blame, and I love to blame him because he's such a lovable guy, is Bill Belichick. By the way, my memory of Bill trading up in the draft, Dan Graham over Ed Reed, with moves like that, they should trade down.
Well, there's the balance. It's Fred in Halifax and Mike in Florida.
Yeah.
Sure.
On opposite ends of the ledge.
But the good news is they all hate us. Who's they? They all.
They're still listening. That's all that matters.
That's
right,
why
Fred?
They hate us.
On the other side,
we're being too easy on Mayo and we're being too hard on Mayo.
What were we saying about Mayo?
More at 11.
What was the general theme of that?
I think he looked better this game than he has these guys don't.
That's another Fredism. Fred thinks he's going to be a playmaker.
Because?
I don't. Now he says, I think he played better this week. They don't. I think he clearly played better this week because the emailer was exactly right about the Jets game. It's as bad as an inside linebacker can play. He got dominated in the second half of that Jets game on all of those runs. He was getting killed. Yes, he played better
I'm
on Sunday than
last
he did.
Year, not the Jets game. Just...
But so you believe the knee
had a good
was
game
an issue
Sunday.
Last year, Fred?
What's that?
You believe the knee was the issue?
I think
issue?
It might have been. Yeah, I don't know.
But no one said that he didn't play a good game Sunday.
That's what I'm
against
saying.
Buffalo. But so you're saying no. You're saying he's going to be a playmaker.
I said he could be. Absolutely.
Okay. Now it's could
based
be.
Based on
could
what
be maybe
you've
if the stars
seen?
Align.
What?
Based on what that you've seen.
I think he looked good last week. You know.
Okay. I need a little bit more than one game,
aside
though,
from,
to
aside
feel
from the
confident
sack,
that he's going to become a playmaker.
Aside from the sack, what did you think he looked good doing last week?
I think he had a nice stuff in the middle on a run play, and, you know.
It was sort of an accidental
sack,
though.
They did
sack,
average 5.6 a carry, right? So there weren't too many of those.
I think Jerod Mayo had a pretty good game.
Who was it,
I think he played fine.
I also believe his stuff in the middle was a 3-yard gain, if I remember correctly, because I actually thought it looked like a nice play, but 3 yards is not great. At the line of scrimmage, no gain or behind it is
there
great.
There was another play for at least a no gain or 1 yard loss where it looked like it might have been spikes, and it turned out it was Mayo who made the tackle. That was early in the game.
I'm just talking in terms of signs that he's going to be a standout player.
I haven't seen
he made a sack on Sunday.
And it wasn't really even his.
You guys talk like he was just falling over himself the last 2 years. Like he just couldn't get out of his own way.
What did I say? I'm going to say it again. I think he's a solid every down NFL inside linebacker.
Right, who makes a lot of tackles.
He's going to make tackles.
But
I need to see him make interceptions.
I want to see him make forced fumbles.
I don't think he's a standout quarterback.
Well, he's never going to be Patrick Willis.
But he was drafted 10th overall.
But that's what he should be.
That's what he should be, exactly.
Well, that's what you drafted him
below
to be.
That.
Yeah.
Willis was 7th?
He's not the only one.
Willis is a Hall of Famer.
You did the story last.
That's my point.
He should be. Is D'Amico Ryans a Hall of Famer too?
And even David Harris.
Are those guys all Hall of Famers?
No, but that's my point.
Stack up to them.
Patrick Willis is proving himself special.
Okay, so I'll take Willis off the equation, out of the equation.
It's unfortunate for
Mayo
because
of the close nature. And I'm going to go to the guys that you wrote about in that story last year.
In 2 year span, they were the inside linebackers taken first at 10 and 11 or 10 and 12, whatever it is. That hurts him because that's the automatic comparison. Willis is special. Hall of Famer, if he's healthy.
Maisie writes in, Paul, can you let me know what your issue is with Patrick Chung? Can you please break down what you don't like about his play? I've heard you say in the preseason that he misses tackles.
I also heard you say yesterday
that you were not impressed with his play.
I'd like to hear your opinion
because I don't think you're watching the same games.
Okay, my opinion is I think he's a liability in pass coverage. I'd never said he missed tackles because that's his strength. He's a good tackler. I think he's late. Matter of fact, the touchdown that I got on McCourty about to Steve Johnson, Patrick Chung was supposed to get over there and help him, and he was late. I think he's a liability in coverage. The interception that he had, he was way out of position on. Should have been a touchdown. Bad throw made it an interception for Chung. That's all. I think he's a solid tackler, and if you want to go in the running game and get him around the line of scrimmage, I think he's Rodney-like. If that's criticism, then I'm sorry, but Rodney is big praise for me, comparing guys to Rodney.
Okay. That's a lot of praise
from me if I say someone I think plays the run like Rodney, because I think he was pretty good at it.
But in this league, if a guy's a liability on passing plays, that's not good.
Well, there's a lot of secondary guys like that.
Sheila from Clearwater. All right, here's what I think. I think the first of all, everyone must fill out an application in order to become a Patriots fan. On the application, we test their general knowledge, football knowledge, that is, then specific Patriots facts. Then third and finally, you must prove your ability to cheer and jump around and while the away team is in the huddle. If you fail at any of these things, you can no longer be a Patriots fan. Please pick another team as we no longer have to listen to you. Those people that pass must immediately sign a contract stating they will be a homer. If at any time they wish to disagree with what the Patriots staff are doing, the contract is null and void, and they must find a new team to cheer for. Just a thought. Thanks, and keep the great shows coming. Okay, I don't know if she's sarcastic or if she's being, serious there.
But. Probably a little bit of both, Fred.
Okay. I have a note that says John Rook is ready. Hey, John, how you doing?
Is the show over?
Yeah.
Welcome into
the playbook. Step inside.
Yeah, absolutely. What's happening?
Nothing.
What are we debating about today?
We've been called everything today from just the absolute worst negative people to people who are
butchers to homers.
Right.
Yeah.
We're too easy on Mayo or we're too hard on Mayo.
The span of three emails, we were called homers and butchers.
Homers and butchers around Mayo?
The whole team in general, but Mayo was part of it. Yeah, and we also bashed. We didn't have anything nice to say about Tom Brady.
Really?
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything nice to say about Tom Brady anymore?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Gosh. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, hey, as far as Mayo is concerned, I actually thought he had a pretty good game this past week, although...
I'm with you, John.
We agree.
He left a lot to be desired against the Jets.
And I agree as well.
Exactly. Thanks for summarizing the last half hour. That's exactly
in the Jets game, everyone just got pushed around.
See, they
really did. That's also true, Fred. Yeah. That's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody deserves a big fat F, you know, grade for the Jets game, particularly in the second half.
But bigger picture, John, what are your thoughts on Jerod Mayo? Long term, what is it?
Long term, I think he'll be a solid pro. I don't know that he'll be an all-pro player, a Pro Bowl
Summarize my feelings in one sentence.
Isn't that kind of what you would have expected, though, out of the 10th overall pick in the draft?
I think the potential
to be a Pro Bowl player.
He's not going to live up to his draft spot.
There's nothing wrong with it. I don't know why you keep that. Why is that wrong?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think we expect too much out of our top draft picks. I think if a guy can play 10, 12 years, which is, keep in mind now, the average career is only about 3.5, right, in the NFL?
Yep.
So if a guy can actually get 10 to 12 years out and a solid career, maybe make a Pro Bowl or two. And a lot of that, I think we realize, comes at the hands of the success of the team and how you're viewed by your peers. And if you play well as a team, your peers are more likely to give you the benefit of the doubt. When you take all of those things into consideration, if you can make a Pro Bowl or two in a 10 or 12-year career, that's certainly representable. But if you can squeeze out 10 or 12 years solid and be a mainstay and be one of the leading tacklers and be a captain and be an upstanding citizen and be a good guy for the media to go to, that's an extremely successful career.
I think that's worth a 10th pick.
Yes, I do too.
You guys don't.
I have no problem. I don't. Okay. Again, I don't know why
Eric
you keep saying it.
You don't think it's worth a 10th pick to get all that?
I don't really. If, no, I think you should get more out of the 10th pick in the
draft. I don't think that he will be a Pro Bowl player. I don't think he'll be he might make a Brandon Merriweather Pro Bowl where he's like the injury
accidental
replacement.
But I don't think
he will be ever one of the best two inside linebackers in the conference,
which is
probably
unfortunate.
Not. But again, you know, a lot of that, Paul, I think, depends on, you know, how his progression starts and who else is playing on other teams. I mean, let's say, you know, he continues to play and play well. There's no reason that he can't elevate his game over the next 2 or 3 years. But
no, I know.
I'd say it's unlikely.
I'm just giving you my opinion. That's all.
Right.
He could improve and prove me wrong. A lot of guys have done that.
But it's the comparison. We've talked a lot about it, John. It's D'Amico Ryans, John Beeson. Obviously, Patrick Willis is the top of the food chain there. It's the comparison to that type of linebacker who makes plays, impacts games, versus good, solid inside linebacker who will give you
Fletcher.
His 9 tackles.
Yeah, he's London Fletcher. That's probably a pretty good analogy. We hope that he can be, you know, potentially better than that. But look at the position by nature. I mean, inside linebacker in the Patriots 3-4 is really a sort of a plain vanilla kind of guy.
Teddy Bruschi made a lot of plays.
Bruschi did a lot.
Well, Bruschi, I think, was a special individual. You can't ask everybody to come in to be the next Teddy Bruschi.
Nope. No.
Just top 10 picks.
No, but yeah, exactly. Bruschi was a low-level pick who surprised everybody.
I'm not asking
Mayo's
Brandon Spikes to do
yeah,
that.
But don't you have to say what... Forget about where Bruschi was picked, what he actually became.
No, it's what he became, but I picked my top 10 picks, I want to become that.
Yeah.
I don't ask Brandon Spikes to become that. Middle of the second round, guys. I'm not expecting him to become that.
Well, I think it's worth it. If everything that John said comes true, and he's here for 10, 12 years, and is your mainstay for 10, then I think that's worth a 10th overall pick.
I don't.
Nah,
all right.
Me either.
Willie McGinnis was worth the 4th pick for you. He wasn't for me and Andy. That's all. That's the difference.
We're
in
consistent.
Philosophy.
How many Pro Bowls did he make?
I think if
one.
I think if McGinnis had Belichick as his coach, he would have been a lot better than he was throughout his
I would
career.
Also agree
he
with that.
He had Belichick as his coach for all but 3
and
years.
And that's when he started playing well, when Belichick had him as a coach.
So in 97, 98, 99, his career was no good?
It wasn't
that's,
as good.
That's
no.
when he made his Pro Bowl.
He was under, yeah, but again, I don't know based
he
on
He played
what.
In that system, 94,
was
95, 96.
Was that elephant
96.
Guy?
That was
Carroll
just for,
to make
Pete Carroll.
Right. How much is the Pro Bowl, though, really a validation of someone's career? Do they have to make it?
But you know what my point is. Was he one of the best players in his position?
I say no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, whether he makes a Pro Bowl or gets the validation of being a Pro Bowler or whatnot is certainly
and
John's right. That's a large part of popularity.
And what John described, I don't think that's what Willie McGinnis became.
No.
You know, Willie
that's
McGinnis
why I say
was
he wasn't
a
worth the
solid,
fourth pick.
Solid
NFL player, but not worth the fourth pick.
I agree with that.
And that's what I think Mayo will be. At the end of the day, as Charlie Baker would say, at the end of the day, I think he'll be a solid NFL player, but not one that was worthy of the 10th overall selection.
I would also allow, Paul, that I agree with you. Fourth overall pick probably should be a Pro Bowl caliber player. Now, 10 to me is kind of borderline. Let's face it now. The Patriots had him higher ranked at 10 than many other teams did.
Because he was supposed to be a good fit for their system.
Right.
And
but the Patriots system, Eric, doesn't necessarily look for Pro Bowl players in that particular position. Again, Teddy Bruschi is an anomaly.
I think they're hoping to get Pro Bowl players in every position.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they pick a guy going...
It's a good talk, though. It's a good sort of debate as to what you think the draft spot ends up becoming.
Another one of those truth serum questions we'd love to ask Bill Belichick. Have you been... happy with what you've gotten out of Gerard Mayo? Have you gotten more, less than you expected out of Gerard
Mayo?
You'll
never get an answer.
I actually look at it.
Is he what you thought he was going to be?
I would actually like to look at it from a draft perspective even more. Like, when you take one of those guys in the top half of the first round, what do you legitimately expect? Forget about the player that you take. When you pick in the top half of the first round, what are you looking for?
Packed.
And I'm thinking he's looking for more than a solid NFL player. Solid NFL players are taken in the first and second round anywhere.
Right.
I think you're looking for impact in the top half of the first round.
Do you think he's a solid NFL player now?
Yeah, I think that's what he is, and that's what he will be.
I think he still could be a little bit better than that.
Year five jump you're going with there?
Maybe this year. This year.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well, this year's not done yet.
All right. Nope. You guys got your work to do, so I'll
All right,
jump
we
got to
get going. Thanks, John, for doing the crossover with us. John Rook and Patriots Playbook coming up. As for us, that'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you tomorrow, one more day, and then it's Miami.